listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio, being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com, also being heard on the Truth Be Told Radio Network now. Thanks for tuning in and giving us your ear today. As always, I'd like to start the show off a little prep or a call for a little bit of support for the stations, because they could always use a little bit of support, and we are viewer-funded. Even a cup of coffee a month, guys, believe it or not, would make a difference to these stations if we had 50, 60, 70 people buying us a cup of coffee every month. It would sure help out the people that put a lot of time into bringing these programs and sacrificing a lot of their time to make this thing work. So if you can help them out a little bit, please do. I always like to say thanks to my producer, Steve, because I always forget to do it at the end of the show. He puts up with me every week and produces my shows, and I'd be lost without the man. So thanks, Steve. And, of course, I'm joined by the Duracell Bunny today. I told you that in chat a few minutes ago. It's always great to have Roger Landry in. I love calling him the Duracell Bunny, because really, when you get Roger going, it's hard to get him stopped, and I have no problem with that at all. We got some pretty serious stuff to talk about today. Thanks for coming in again, Roger. Always a pleasure to have you back, my friend.
Well, everything you said, you hit the nail right on the head, including the part about once it gets started, it's almost impossible to get him stopped.
Well, so I've been doing shows with you for pretty years.
The absolute answer to that is never ask me a question, and you'll never have to ask me to stop.
Roger, I've been doing shows with you for years, buddy, and I love doing shows with you because you bring a lot of good information to the table, and my audience really appreciate it. But we really do want to talk about these little black strands that are moving in these masks, man. What's that all about, Roger?
It's not just the masks. It's also in the PCR test that they stick up your nose. What they are is they're nanotubes. And what are those nanotubes there for, and why do you see them wiggling around? Well, according to the research that's been done on these nanotubes are the delivery mechanism for the vaccine, or what they call a vaccine, which is just actually, in fact, a DNA switch. It's a mechanism, basically a nanobot, if that's the way you need to define it, because they are, in fact, a mechanism. What activates them? It's either humidity or heat. When you breathe into a mask, that's heat and humidity, the heat of your body coming out in your breath, and the humidity your body exhales every time it exhales. It can also be stimulated by at least a given level of electricity in the air, static electricity. But the main functionaries of these nanobots are, again, a delivery mechanism. So the article was put together by Ariana Love, and she is a homeopathic doctor. And the research shows, even in videos, you can see this. If anybody hasn't seen it, there are videos online. You can actually go to the Liberty Beacon and look for Ariana's article and see the video in there. And what you're actually seeing is a nanotube activated by your breath. And when it squirms around, why is it squirming around? To deliver its payload, which obviously it can't do in a static position. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there and triggered by into motion by either heat or the your moist breath. So again, you and I had this discussion. We had this discussion about a month ago, and I said to you, "You've got to be crazy, Barry." Now, see, when
I was going to bring that up, Roger.
Hold on, let me finish. You told me I could finish.
Okay.
All right. When Roger's not right, when he's not right, then Roger admits it. It wasn't a fact of being wrong. It was a fact of being ignorant. So I went off and eradicated some programmed ignorance. Yes.
There you go. Yes. You're never too old to learn, are you?
I went to one of our contributors, who is actually a part of the Liberty Beacon Project, who put together that article. And she said, "You really need to go through this." Now, if you stop to think about what I'm saying here, I'm telling you that the same mechanism that's being delivered via what's called a vaccine and isn't a vaccine. If you take a look at the definition of a vaccine, these don't fit. They are not legally vaccines. They are called vaccines because that qualifies them for specific things, including a lot of government money. But they're not. They're DNA switches. They are actually mechanisms of delivery. But why the heck? Why am I saying this about the PCR test? If you take also a look in this article and other places online, it's not just Ariana's article. She just put everything together in one place that makes it easier. Okay? If you stop to take a look at why the heck is this stuff in the nose swab? Why is it in the I'll bet you it's in the anal swab as well. And why is it in the mask? Why does everybody need to have this mechanism in their body? And then you get into an area where we're supposedly the biggest tinfoil hat wearers on the planet. But we've been saying, people like Barry and I, for 10 years that don't laugh when you drive by the Georgia Guidestones. The elites make it a habit of telegraphing exactly what they're going to do. And if you don't heed it, then, oh well, it's not like we didn't tell you. And the Georgia Guidestones flat out state that you need to keep the population of planet Earth under 500 million in tune with nature. That's not a joke. It's carved into a huge monument. It's carved into solid granite, along with a bunch of other stuff. But we're looking at something that's being delivered in a fashion that gives you no consent. If what we see here is true, if this research is actual and 100%, and I don't have my face sticking right there, so I can't tell. What I do know is the sources all are good.
I'm going to ask.
But I can tell, almost done, Barry, promise.
I just want to add a comment here. Go ahead. Well, I'm going to ask everybody sitting here listening to the show today to take one of these blue masks, take them home, maybe get a couple different brands, take them home, spread. You can take the two layers and separate themselves. And what you want to do is take some warm water and pour it on the mask, and then take a magnifying glass, because you need a magnifying glass to see them. They're really, really tiny. And see if you see them yourself. What's happening here? People locally, there's all kinds of ladies now that are testing these things, and they're all freaking out, Roger.
Yes.
And it's, you know, what's really cool about this right now is that there's a few people in the bands and the councils, native ladies up here, that are really kind of getting on to what's going on with these masks, putting them on our children, forcing children to wear masks at schools. Now we're finding out that they potentially have these nanobots in there that can actually get into the child's brain. And you know what I know, Roger, it's all the mechanism that protects your brain from what's at the end of your nasal swab. I believe it's about a thousandth of an inch wide membrane.
It's a blood-to-brain barrier.
Yeah. but it's easily penetrated when they stick these swabs. All they have to do is poke through that, and they're inserting right into your brain. Cool, eh? These guys have got it all figured out, Roger.
It doesn't have to perforate it, and it doesn't. Okay, they're not going to do anything that dangerous or that stupid. But the nano mechanisms that are there, those nanotubes, when they start to move that again, okay, they can, and it tells you right in the article, they have the ability to pass right through the blood-brain barrier. They do. And I got to tell you something else out there, okay? Everybody else, listen to this for a real good second. Why can't you get the fluoride out of your municipal water? A lot of people in both Canada and the United States. Why? Fluoride, the reason why you can complain is until the cows come in and the fluoride stays in your water. Fluoride absolutely negates or opens the blood-to-brain barrier for the aluminum falling from the sky, for the mercury in the vaccines, and I could go on and on. All of these things that we put directly into our body that are neurotoxic, meaning if they hit the brain, they're going to do absolute and massive damage. Okay, depending on how much gets there. But whatever gets there is going to do damage. Anybody who drinks fluoridated water negates your blood-brain barrier for all of these mechanisms. If you look at an Alzheimer's, okay, patient today, this has happened over and over again. Please search this on the internet. If you look at a cross-section of a person who died of Alzheimer's, in a vast majority of the cases, what's really, really apparent is the massive amount of aluminum in the brain, which is extremely neurotoxic. Look up in your sky, people. Every time they do that to you, you're breathing aluminum for the next couple of days. I'm not joking, and that's an absolute fact. So well, what blood to brain barrier?
Well, we're being bombarded with aluminum everywhere in society, Roger. It's in our food. It's coming from our skies. It's getting into our soil. It's in our vaccines. It's in our water. It's being spread through when they're spraying these chemtrails. I mean, that stuff hits the earth. It's got to go into the soil, and those plants grow. And where does that stuff end up? It ends up in the plants, and we're eating it. We're breathing into our noses. We're being exposed to it everywhere. And wonder why Alzheimer's is the fastest growing disease in North America.
Here is the most evil of all of it. In the United States, an underprivileged child or their mother, especially, obviously she's going to do the purchase, or father, that goes out to purchase formula for their child.
Oh, I know.
They're on the WIC program. All of those formulas contain an anti-clumping agent. The anti-clumping agent used is powdered aluminum. When you put aluminum into a child's body, an infant, because, you know, you got to be kind of tiny to have infant formula, okay? So what happens? Infants don't have a blood-to-brain barrier, or it is so undeveloped that at that point in time, it's pretty much totally ineffective. And you are feeding this child regularly, because that's about all they eat at that age, regularly something that contains very neurotoxic agent, and they have no protection from it. None.
Slaughtering millions and millions and millions of brain cells every day, Roger. I read the reports on this, buddy, and it just tears me apart that this is allowed to go on. The children's brains are being destroyed before they even have a chance to know what there's going on in their lives. And then we look at all the rises in neurological diseases in children. This is absolute genocide, what we're doing to
our
kids.
And we also...
Now we're putting masks on them and restricting their intake of air and feeding them back their carbon dioxide and masking them up. And it's just, man, Roger, how much more can kids take before it's a complete breakdown? It's unbelievable, buddy. It's just
the point
so
here
sad.
Is, kids, I put an article up on the Liberty Beacon today about basically lockdowns and what they do to younger adults and children. And what most people don't understand is the necessity for social interaction.
Exactly.
The necessity to have those flirts, the necessity to have all of this is part of what makes a human being a human being. It may not affect someone your age or my age anywhere near as much because at this point we're pretty much anchored down a whole lot more than somebody who's maybe 20, 25, 15, 18 years old. And mm-hmm. now they can't play, they can't socialize, they can't. And we could go on and on. And all of this is the programmed ignorance, but it's in overdrive right now. If you stop to consider, hydrogels are infused with nanoparticles, and they're being used in a number of biological applications, tissue engineering, chemical and biological sensing, and drug and gene delivery, believe it or not. Unfortunately, these are nanobots, and they're not being used to heal us. Instead, they've been programmed for destruction. Now, I don't mean they've been programmed to go in and start destroying and chopping your cells up. I mean they are designed to go in and deliver a mechanism that we know will either cause some massive harm coming down the pike for whoever took the vaccine or will sterilize them. Now, I'm going to tell you why I think this, because everybody goes, well, damn, there's Roger again stepping way the hell out on that limb. But I'm going to tell you something I told you all before, and I told you when it happened, and I said there will be repercussions, and here we are, and Roger loves to say I told you so. We told everybody out there that these vaccines, okay, and all of the things that they were putting in them were in fact basically to sterilize a very, very large portion of the population. We have doctors at this point who are stepping up to say exactly what I told you several months ago, and that is – these are DNA switches. Now, there's a lot of people out there rolling their eyes going, okay, so you're using that mumbo jumbo. What the hell is an RNA switch for DNA? What is that? I'm going to tell you that I know a little bit. I know what it does, and I don't know the functionary, and I don't know the science behind it. But what I can tell you is this. They cheated so damn bad, it's insane. Listen to the insanity I'm about to give you. Remember the story I told you a while back, okay? When they decided to do this, when they decided to change your DNA, they didn't tell you that. Because in order to prove a vaccine, you don't do it in a couple of months. It takes years, and in some cases, as much as 10 years. One of the biggest reason is today a lot of vaccines in the pipeline affect your DNA. How the hell are we going to know what humanity is going to look like 60, 100 years down the road if we don't do something to see how this is going to affect the DNA? What's DNA? It's the roadmap to everything you are. The color of your eyes, the color of your hair, and I could go on and on and on. Your DNA is you. It's the complete plan for you. That's what DNA is. Vaccines were not allowed to be produced until multiple generations of test animals had been given the vaccine, or the first generation had, and then five or six generations down the road, which is why they use rats and guinea pigs, because they proliferate very, very easily and very quickly. So you can get 10 generations in 2 years or a year or whatever, and mm-hmm. you can tell what the DNA changes have done, and you can predict their effect on humanity. They skipped them. They didn't do them. If you're going to mess with the floor plan for every human being on this planet, and you're not going to do the only safety mechanism that is absolutely required for that, if you're going to totally omit that, I'm going to tell you what I feel the truth is. They didn't omit it, and they know exactly what's going to happen, which is why you We'll never find out anything about those animal trials. Nothing.
Absolutely, Roger. You know, we're dealing with people that are very, very, very evil. And the eugenics programs we see rolling out, they're just at light speed right now. This is absolute insanity. And this is all being done under a perceived medical declaration of a medical emergency in Canada. The government cannot provide the data to justify any form of an emergency declaration in Canada. But we're finally getting people that are starting to call the government out. But it's absolute insanity that they're allowed to bring this vaccine so fast to society. If it wasn't for that emergency declaration, they wouldn't be able to do this. It would have to go through the normal trials of what you said there a few minutes ago, generation testing, so we find out what the effects of the vaccine are. But none of that's being done. It's insanity. It's being done by them.
Yeah, right. In the United States, not sure about Canada, but in the United States, if a vaccine is produced as an emergency measure, okay, right, until that vaccine goes through normal testing procedures and gets approved by the CDC and the FDA, right, then they cannot make it mandatory. It is, in fact, an experimental vaccine, and it's not even a vaccine. It's an experimental DNA switch, okay? That's what it is. And most people are not aware that the government does not have the right to make it mandatory, nor does anybody else. But what they can do is private businesses – they can pick and choose, okay? They can decide who can and can't come on their property. So via the mechanisms of big business, via the mechanisms of, you know, big chain stores, you can't come in here unless you have, and this is coming unless we stop it, a vaccine passport, proving that you went out and sacrificed the future of humanity so that you could come in to Walmart and buy some goobers.
What percentage of the population has any idea about this, Roger? You know, the general population is still completely in the dark. We have hundreds of thousands of Canadians. Well, a lot are still, Roger, because they're rolling up their arms to take this vaccine. And anybody that takes this, well,
50%.
Yeah, and that's a lot of people, Roger. I mean, how many vaccines have they already administered in the United States of America? The number's pretty high.
You're saying that's a lot of people, and I agree with you. But what you're missing is it's a hell of a lot. 50% saying no. Even in the military, 40% are saying no. And the reason why I'm saying a hell of a lot are saying no is because I have been researching and reporting on vaccine damage for 12 years, and I have never seen 50% of the population against a vaccine. It's never happened. Maybe 10%, maybe 15%. If it's really bad, we can maybe go 20%. But 50%, there's a lot of awake people. And it's spreading. Want to know why? You opened up a can of worms. This is why they can't stop the truth from coming out. The amount of actual deaths or permanent disabilities being caused by this vaccine is just absolutely ridiculous. And they are literally using things like big tech to stifle the word about it so more people will take the vaccine, because they know that if reality was out there and everybody understood how dangerous this was, that number would go from 50% to 75% or even 85%. And they can't afford to have that happen. Why? It'll spoil their plans about turning planet Earth into a garden planet for them.
Absolutely, Roger. It's a deep, deep rabbit hole. Like I said, most people I don't know if it's 50% in Canada, because we're still seeing people just lining up for this vaccine. There's a lot of people that are waking up to it.
They're still taking it. They're still taking it, but they know they shouldn't be, but they have to be able to live their lives. They're in a situation the government can't back them into the wall, but the job they've been at for 25 years, and they've got 4 years left, 4.5 years left, and they can retire, and all of a sudden your boss says, "You can't be in this office with everybody else if you can't show us you had a vaccine."
That's how they're going to force the public to take it, Roger. They're already talking about mandatory in Canada. You're going to see a lot of lawsuits launched against this government if they keep going down this path of talking about mandatory.
Private companies doing this, because in America, the government can't. It's an experimental drug.
The corporations can, though. Delta Airlines and all the big corp companies can say, hey, you can't come on our property unless you've got a vaccine passport. They're going to make it impossible for you to buy, sell, or trade in society unless you're vaccinated. Imagine that. Where have we heard that before? Hey, listen, Roger, I let my dog out. My dog's whining at the door, so I'll be 2 seconds, okay? Just keep talking.
Quit talking? Is that what he said?
No, he said keep talking.
Okay. Look, there, and I don't know, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the island. Steve, if you know what it is, go ahead and spout it out. There is an island out there with a volcano that's going off, and they have cruise ships that have pulled up to do humanitarian stuff. Cruise ships have pulled up to the island to take people off into safety, except if you haven't had the vaccine, they ain't letting you on their ship. Are you kidding me?
Swim.
Are you freaking kidding me? This is an absolute fact. It's not a joke.
I know it's not a joke. I know we got to laugh at it a little bit, but it's not funny.
Oh, no. Laughing at it is fine because it is funny. It's just funny isn't always a joke.
Yeah, it's insanity.
Severe stupidity can sometimes be funny. That's not a joke. That's what this is. This is cancel culture to the billionth degree. How the heck does a cruise ship line, after the fact, convince people that they have everybody's best interests at heart when they basically told people, because they don't know how bad this eruption is going to get, when they basically told people, if you don't get vaccinated, you can stay on that island and die.
Yep. Did we go to another world here, Roger? I mean, are we still on planet Earth?
I don't know, but I have a hankering for some nanoparticles, so I think I'm going to go out and buy some masks.
Well, I think Roger, honestly, this is going viral now. A lot of people are hearing about this, and yep. I think you're going to see a lot of people starting to look at these masks themselves. And yep. I think you're going to see a lot more videos released on the internet, and people are going to start asking themselves some serious questions. You know, in Canada here, they barred, after about a year of being used in Quebec and Toronto area, they barred one line because people were having very, very, very bad reactions to them. People got to realize, Roger, you know, all this stuff's coming from China. And China really ain't our friends, even though people kind of think China's all right. But you know what? They're sworn enemies to our society. You know that. I know that. Anybody that listens to these shows know that China, not our friend. But they're the ones that are making our masks. They're making our test kits. They're making, 80%, I believe, now of our pharmaceutical drugs. Isn't this kind of like letting the hen or the fox watch that hen house? Isn't it kind of like, why would we want to put all our money into a country that's doing these kind of things under the table? And we don't even know what they're really doing, do we, Roger? Because of nanotechnology. We don't know it all.
No, but we're finding out more and more every day. Do y'all remember hearing a little while back about a massive shipment of PCR tests that got turned away from the UK? Because they were all infected with COVID-19.
I heard about that.
It also happened several times in the United States.
Imagine that.
And now we're talking about, instead of it being so on the surface, it is literally in nanotubes. Somebody out there, thinking about this, add this to your thought pattern, okay? You don't make this stuff in a day. You don't make it in a week. You don't pass it around the world to make sure it's in the right places at the right time in a month. You definitely don't get everybody on the same scorecard in a year. anybody who doesn't understand, we are seeing the end result of a plan that could be as much as a decade old. You're an idiot.
Exactly. Fauci was talking about this in 2016, and look what he was involved in 2016. Exactly. Exactly. They knew this was coming for years, and they've been preparing for it.
That was when they got people together to start saying, this is how we need to organize it. The technology was being developed for another 5 or 6 years before that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. It's unbelievable, isn't it, Roger? I mean, we've been talking about this kind of stuff for years, buddy, and here it is. Here it is, full force, in our face. It's accelerating at light speed. Every day's just an adventure now when I go on the internet. I mean, I'm just being bombarded with stuff. Some of it I can't even believe. Some of it I can't take time to look at because it's so unbelievable. But nothing really is out of the realm of possibilities these days, it seems like.
About 3 years ago, you and I did a show, which I have a vague recollection of, where we discussed that the easiest way to trim down the population of the planet was not to in the massive war or thermonuclear war, because it would make the planet just as unlivable for them as it is for us.
Right.
Okay. That it would need to be something that was released in the form of a pandemic, a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And we also discussed the fact that we were starting to see nanotechnology work its way into the biological forum, and that this would be, as far as I was concerned, the best delivery mechanism they could possibly use. Let's fast forward to today, and let's, I don't know, go back over what we went over for the last, I don't know, since the show started, and aren't we sitting exactly where we said? I have told this audience several times, I'll tell you again, we have 5 global websites. It's the same everywhere, whether it's in France, where Europe Reloaded is, whether it's in England, where UK Reloaded is, and I could go on. It's all the same. We were just tinfoil hat wears. We were talking about things that were ridiculous. Who the hell lives a life like that? You need to stop and be normal, Roger. Then all of a sudden, the world starts to go down on one knee. And all of a sudden, the traffic to the Liberty Beacon goes up by 500% and all across our websites. And now I've got people saying, weren't you talking about that 5 or 6 years ago? Didn't you say this about this, 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 and this then? And all of a sudden, credibility is knocking on our door, isn't it, Barry? Yet, how many people tried to prove us wrong and couldn't before?
Why all of a sudden
does it work?
Yeah, I've been called a nutcase for years in my society here because I talk about stuff. But all of a sudden, people are seeing things unfold. And I don't want to say I told you so, but an example was, Roger, 4 years ago, the guy that runs the gun shop here in Terrace for Canadian Tire, I told him 4 years ago, I said, mark my words, in 3-4 years from now, the government's going to have your guns. They're going to come after everything in Canada. They're going to mandate everything. They're going to get all the guns off the street. And these guys, there was 5 of them sitting at a table, and they just laughed at me. And they called me a nutcase. Well, guess what the government's doing in Canada right now, Roger? And it's hardcore. Hey, they're taking our air guns away. We're not even allowed to have BB guns. Isn't that cool?
What you're seeing and what you're... Hey, look, you've got somebody running the show up there that had Chinese military on Canadian soil training.
Well, that's just normal. That's normal.
Just normal.
Nothing to see there, Roger.
Not anything to see at all.
No, okay? It's normal.
Yeah.
We always train our enemy how to fight us in our land, man.
Well, the excuse supposedly was that they were helping China be ready to defend themselves against India. That's exactly what the excuse was.
That was the cover story.
Yeah. And anybody who knows anything knows that that's not going to help them a bit. What's wrong with the Chinese military? What's wrong with the Chinese military is what's starting to be wrong with all of the other militaries on the planet. They're all going woke. But the Chinese military is made up of spoiled brats. China is a one, okay, for a long time, was a one baby. That's it. One baby family. That's all you can have. One child. All of these children are spoiled to a level. And don't say no, because there's actual documentaries about this online. Please go look. Okay. They are spoiled little sissies. And when they go into the military just is not happy with them, because they are all little prim and proper sissies. And when they had a border skirmish with India not too long ago, they had superior force and superior weapons, and they got a serious black eye from the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at China as I don't even want to go there. Okay, because that's another whole show. It really is. What's being done in this country, and you want to get way the hell off the beaten path, there is an absolute legal fact that should have absolutely kept Joe Biden from ever sitting in the White House. What is that? He is compromised by a hostile foreign power. How is he compromised? The laptop that was found, or excuse me, that was left there, and the owner of the shop finally could take over legally. What was found on there were compromising images of Joe Bob's son and underage Chinese children.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but other things that tie right back to Joe Biden as being the boss, okay? And then you have to understand that if ever he does something that in some form really hurts Xi Jinping, all he has to do is say, you know what we got, Joe. The fact here remains, the laptop proved unequivocally, which is why it was hidden before the election, which why all of this was buried by the media. The laptop proved unequivocally that Joe Biden was compromised by the Chinese and thus disqualified from ever sitting in the White House. How many people have told you about that or talked about that? How many people?
Well, no, I've actually seen a couple articles on that, Roger. You know, and you've actually put out a couple articles on that very issue, and I've looked at those. But how do we get the situation rectified in the United States right now? Because if that Biden maniac's allowed to go on, there's not going to be much left of your country in a couple of years, Roger.
2022, unless we've got a bunch of people stepping. Look, there are mechanisms at our disposal. Anybody who doesn't think there is doesn't do any research. You're the programmed, ignorant people, and it's not your fault. There's something called nullification. Not too long ago, like last week, okay, Arkansas decided they're not going to have anything to do with any of Joe Bob's executive orders on gun control or any laws passed by a Democratic House and Senate with absolutely no Republican votes. They basically passed a law stating that we won't pay any attention to your laws. And yes, they can do that. It's called state nullification. They can literally shut the federal government out. And if you ask why, I will tell you this. They can do it because the United States, unlike Canada or any other nation on the planet, is not a country with 50 states. That's what it's called, but it's not. It is a union with 50 nations. Each one of them has within their constitution the right to nullify anything that their people within their state, their electorate, deem unconstitutional. If you come after my guns, that's Second Amendment. And it's not just them. There are other states. They're declaring, you know, areas that, you know, gun rights areas where you can literally come in, just like all of those people that were rioting up in Washington and the Seattle area. And, you know, they were in an area that cops couldn't go in or nothing. Well, the states can basically set up the same type of an area within their state that are non-applicable to federal gun laws. And this is what Arkansas did. That's one thing. The next thing is recall. You want to take back the Senate? They only have the Senate by one person. So you go to the biggest idiot Democrat, the one who is literally not representing their constituents, which would be all of them, and you recall them. And in their place, you put a Republican. You have just swung the majority. Okay, there are mechanisms. Also this, Trump says, I will run for president again in 2024 if we take the Congress back, the House of Representatives, in 2022. And what is he doing? He's putting a lot of money and a lot of effort and a lot of media into helping every single one of these congressmen get reelected, and also challenging the Democrats. What the hell have you actually done for this country? And supporting the Republicans that will step up and run against them. Again, we're not talking about massive numbers. What can we do? We could do nullification right now. What can we do? We can start a recall right now, but that would take about 6 months to do. Okay, so that's the second option. What's the third option? In 2022, we take back the Senate and we take back the House of Representatives. At that point, okay, unless he's got the Supreme Court in his back pocket, which won't happen, they're already starting to fear the backlash they've gotten from what they did to Trump. But unless they've got the Supreme Court in their back pocket, once the Republicans control the House and the Senate again, then just about nothing the president wants to do could actually happen. How do I know that? How can I make such a bold statement? Does anybody remember the 4 years of Trump where everything he wanted to do was booed and voted down by a blue Congress? Does anybody remember that? Where nothing he wanted to do, unless it was an executive order. And if Joe Bob puts out an executive order like his gun control executive order, that's not going to stand the test in court. Okay? So are there things that can happen? Yes. Is it going to be immediate? No. The quickest something could happen would be a couple of months. The longest it should take is between now and 2002, which is a little over a year and a half away. So This is the sandbox we're playing in. This is the game.
Yeah, I'm just very, very concerned about how much damage this guy's going to do if he's left in there for any length of time, Roger. I know that a lot of it's going to be nullified, but he's still sitting in that office right now, and the guy hasn't got the brains God gave a chicken.
He hasn't made one single decision since he's been in there, except maybe to go to the bathroom when he wanted to.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. I know he's completely controlled. He's got his handlers. He won't answer questions to the press. I watch. It's just a joke to watch this guy. It absolutely makes me feel. I feel ill watching him.
Want to know why you feel that way?
Oh,
no. Hold on. I've got an exact answer. Okay. If you take a look, what's happening to this guy? All right. If you take a look, that the world is seeing it and laughing. What did the Democrats actually accomplish by stealing this election and putting someone in that anybody on this planet with even one firing brain cell knows can't possibly be in charge? What happened? You just witnessed the destruction of the U.S. presidency. Going forward, it will be considered that the election was rigged and that those in the deep state who control will continue to control whatever puppet sits in the White House. The U.S. presidency, in all of the awe it used to inspire, is freaking dead. That's what the Democrats did. The Democrats just destroyed the U.S. presidency, because unless you've got somebody walking in there like Trump in 2024 – who has some nads and will say black is black and white is white, unless you've got someone like that, all it will do is perpetuate what just got started. What just got started? The absolute destruction of the U.S. presidency as any meaningful office.
Well, I'm a little choked that Trump isn't in there, because with Biden in there, if anything goes crazy in Canada, Biden will just be right along with it, and we won't have anybody to possibly step in if things go south in Canada. And believe me, Roger, the possibility of that happening is becoming a reality. It really is. What we see happening in Canada right now is communism 2.0. Our police have gone total police state. Total police state, guys. It's not funny. And what they're doing right now in Alberta, with the RCMP lined up, there's about 200 RCMP lined up on one side of the fence, and about 2,000 now Canadian Patriots on the other side of the fence of a church that was fenced off by the police. This is violation of code 176 of our criminal code. They are breaking the law right now by restricting access to religious freedom in Canada. That's how far this has gone. And the RCMP are complacent in it, Roger. We have a big problem in this country, and people better wake up to it. But it's the same problem we see right around the world. But it is really ramping up here in Canada, buddy.
Newsom will tell you about that in California. He just got itch smacked again. Yeah. The Supreme Court finally woke up long enough to decide that it was beyond his ability to dictate that religious services could not be held in an individual's home. So all of the pastors that were inviting their parishioners to the house, or to basically, it could be the church if their house is connected to the church or their living quarters. And he flat out, he'd send the police and, "You guys can't do that. Go home. End of story." And now, he's like, "Oh God, not another one." Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he took another hit. It is unconstitutional for him to say, "You can't get together and pray." End of story.
Well, the government has shut down all the churches in Canada. You know that, eh, Roger? But guess what? The mosque in Milton today, Ontario, 250 cars in the parking lot doing their religious service in the Islamic mosque in Milton. And the rest of the churches in Canada are shut down. What is it going to take for people to wake up, Roger? This is beyond anything I thought I would see in my lifetime, but not really. But that's what's going on in our country right now. They've got RCMP blocking Christians from going into a Christian church, and they're allowing mosques with 200 cars parked in the parking lot on video. Look at it today. People are furious about this. No police interaction, no police stopping it. Just go ahead and do your services. But they've got right now, and I'm just looking at the line of police, man, it's like right down the field. They put fencing all around this church, like a half a mile each direction. And then they got an inside layer. And then they got police cars all over the place. And it's like, my God, what is going on here? And they got at least 100 cops lined up along that fence to stop possible people coming into the church. It's like, this is really, really bizarre, Roger. But it's not. It's just showing us how far these people are ready to go now. It's scary times we live in, my friend. Go ahead.
How many people have already taken this vaccine?
Say what?
How many people are going to take this vaccine? I'm not asking questions. Yeah. I'm just making a point.
Yeah.
How many people are going to take this vaccine? Let's call it what it is. Let's call it a DNA switch. Okay. I mean, mRNA vaccine right there tells you, you don't use that before the word vaccine. Actually, most of us didn't think that. But nowadays, what I'm finding out is a lot of the new vaccines coming out are going to be also vaccines that will modify your DNA. People, please understand, this is exactly what we've been talking about every time we brought up the Georgia Guidestones, every time we brought up, and it's not a joke. It really, really isn't. I wouldn't say things like this if I didn't know that you can go to the internet right now do a little research and find at least a dozen really, really well-researched articles from absolutely 100% credible researchers and doctors stating blatantly that this vaccine will sterilize females. Did you hear what I said?
No, crazy.
I was joking there. Okay. But now I just told you that, hey, just because you tell these people, don't be sticking that needle in my arm, but yet you're wearing a mask or you've just had a nose swab. Are you catching my drift?
Mm.
We're not talking about things that we can control simply because we're aware of them. Because the biggest issue here is, unless we had the internet and unless we had people who knew where to look and what to look for globally, we wouldn't know this. And those of us who are prepared, those of us who understand about the masks, about the PCR test, those of us that understand what the vaccine actually is, we're going to be the people that avoid the masks, the tests, and the vaccines. And I must tell you something. If what they're looking for, and you can take this as a joke if you want to, if what they're looking for through this is that the surviving portion of humanity has some guts and some brains, stop and think about it. Mm-hmm. Who's going to survive this? It's going to be the people who don't listen to the spiel. It's going to be people like you and me and Barry and the people that actually understand what's going on, because you've been awake for years, not days, not months, not minutes, not seconds, for years. We're standing at a precipice that humanity has never stood at before. This has never happened in human history, ever.
Yeah, it is definitely we're at a crossroads right now, Roger, and the future of any kind of resemblance of freedom in our world is at stake right now.
What's happening in Jerusalem? I mean, in Israel.
I know that.
Have 9 million people, Barry. There are 9 million people in Israel. That's it, okay?
Yep.
You've got more than that in a lot of big American cities. They got 9 million people in a country that's smaller than New Jersey. And what they decided they were going to do, Mr. Netanyahu, decided that he was going to make Israel the lab rats of the world and vaccinate, be the first country to have the entire population vaccinated, come high, hell to high water. And there are some very sad stories coming out of Israel right now about forced vaccinations, about what you can and can't do if you're not vaccinated. These people are actually crying as they're making the videos. I need to ask you all listening to what I just said, if you found the irony in this, I found. What the hell happened in Germany in the late 1930s with, Jewish people, concentration camps, forced medication on experimental trials? Anybody here think I'm lying? You don't know your history. What's going on in Israel right now?
We're in 1936-37 Germany, right to the T, Roger. Why? Because it worked then and it's working again now.
Watch your time, Barry.
Where the hell does anybody get off calling you or me a tinfoil hat wearer? I'll tell you where. These are the people who carry the heavy load of programmed ignorance. And it is the task of your shows and me coming on your shows and all the other stuff the Liberty Beacon Project does to eradicate that programmed ignorance so that you understand. Because when you understand, I'm not going to have to ask you to line up beside me. You're just going to be there when you truly understand. And yes, the sign of a true leader is in those they choose to stand beside them, not behind them.
Amen. Well, when you eradicate ignorance, you eradicate fear, folks. It's hand in hand. The only virus we have in our world right now is the fear virus. We've got to look it in the face and tell it to go away because it's just a crock of crap and it's destroying our world. Roger, our time is up again, buddy. It always goes quick when I get into conversations with you. So look at, you know, I'm going to hash you back and then again in a couple of weeks, and you always say yes, so I will probably ask you right now, but I will send you a reminder, but we'll have you back in a couple of weeks to carry on this conversation because there's so much stuff going on and I didn't even get into some of the things I wanted to talk to you about today. So we'll have to do it again, but you're going to go plug your shows and where people can find you before we leave. And I'll let you finish off with some comments, my friend.
If you stop to consider that of all the times you've ever asked me, you accidentally had to cancel more than I've said no. That's true. And I am Roger Lanthe. I am the founder and the managing director of the Liberty Beacon Project. And like I said, about a half a dozen, there will be very soon, half a dozen global websites. And our mission, the entire mission statement, is the eradication of programmed ignorance. And it's thanks to people like Barry that give us a platform to do that.
Thanks again for coming in, Roger.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to be out of here for 4 minutes, guys, and then I'll be back with Mr. Ron Stevens. Thanks again, Roger Lanthe.
All right. Bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm back already?
Yes, you are. Sorry.
A little blurt there, Steve. Anyways, you guys, me and Steve were carrying on a conversation. We got so carried away, we forgot that I'm supposed to be back on the air. You're supposed to go 1, 2, 3, and you're on. Okay, I'm on. Anyways, welcome back to the second hour. And, of course, we are not professional radio, so we can get away with this kind of stuff. And I hope I haven't hurt anybody's feelings. Anyways, you know, I've got Ron Stevens in. I'm going to tell you guys right now, I got a really bad cold. And I already starting to feel my voice go here. I'm going to try and make it through this next 2 hours, but it's already leaving me. And I got Ron on here, and luckily Ron's the kind of guy that I get him talking. He can fill the hour up by himself. So welcome back, Ron. Always good to have you in. And let's talk a little bit about what's going on in our country.
Well, what's going
and
on
your
in
mayor,
our country
I'm talking
is,
about your mayor first. Is, I want to talk about your mayor story first. You got some people with that.
Yeah, but my real name is not actually Ron. It's Muhammad.
Oh,
and I've been working inside. Anyway, yeah, no, I'm really pleased as punch because I've been fighting with this scam that went down here in my neck of the woods. Eight municipalities got together and brought in a P3 from the World Economic Forum and sold it to the public. Is a idea that they had that they could stop so much duplication and it would save everyone money. But a few years after, because the P3s are all about the privatization of, because it's all about big business taking over our countries. And a few years later, without the consent or the knowledge of the people, it was privatized, of which the municipalities are making money from off our backs. And so I was quite surprised. I phoned, I'm trying to get the smart meter off my house because it's giving me tinnitus. And they want me to pay a large sum of money to get it redone, which I'm not going to do. And so I called the municipality and explained the fraud to them, of which they already knew. And within about 2 or 3 days after I outed this, the mayor resigned. And I went to see a counselor, I think it was yesterday morning, the morning before, one guy who understands what's going on. He's been reprimanded a few times now. But when I explained to him what I did, he said, now I get it, because when the mayor resigned, she didn't give us any reason for her resignation. Mm-hmm. I said, well, she couldn't, right? And so he's going to get on top of things again. And I don't know if you saw that or not, Barry. I just sent you a post off my Facebook that I put up. Of Stephen Harper with his mask on, getting his so-called vaccination. And the comments are just flying in here now because he was Mr. Conservative, and the people are just freaking out now. You know, we got to kill this left-right paradigm nonsense, and I think that's going to do it. Because he was kind of up on the pedestal, and people realize, wait a minute here,
he's
got
just another player,
you know, just another player.
Yep.
And so we're going in the right direction, but people are still stupid as a box of rocks. I went to get a coffee this morning, and the store was just full of people. And everybody's wearing a mask but me. And there was a guy standing in the lineup and asked to move over a little bit so I'd get to the coffee machine. And he started freaking out on me because I didn't have a mask on. And, you know, I tried to explain to him a few things, but he ain't going there.
Yep.
And then, you know, a couple in their, I don't know, 20s started freaking out. So I just dropped some money on the counter. It says, you know, I'll be back later, but you know, it's just.
We're in wackadoodle world, Ron.
Well, you know, a lot of the
woken
young
up in another dimension. Well, yeah, but I'm dealing with the same thing here. People walking around outside, down the street by themselves with a mask over their face. And, you know, I'm starting to get people confronting me in stores. Why aren't you wearing a mask? You know, but then in the same mouthful, wholesale club where I go all the time, the cashier there yesterday told me that she's seeing more and more and more people walk in without masks now. So some people are getting it, but unfortunately, a good percentage of the population are still listening to Dr. Bonnie Henry. And it's sad. It really is, seeing what's going on in our society right now, how this is dividing people, pitting people against each other. Now the vaccine's going to come out, and they're rolling that out like crazy in this country now, Ron. It's just unbelievable that people are rolling up their sleeves to take this. I mean, we had a real good conversation about this in the first hour, and anybody who takes this vaccine isn't looking into anything at all. They're just blindly following what the government's telling them to do. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people like that in Canada still. Go ahead.
I wish I would have had a camera, because my wife works at a drugstore, and I wish I would have had a camera, because everybody in the drugstore took the vaccination except my wife. And, you know, they're all looking at her. Why are you going to take the vaccination, right? And she just said, I don't have to, right? And I guess they were just staring at her. And I wish I would have got that on camera. The average man and woman in this country is dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, they've been sitting in front of the TV since they were children. They were in the public school since they were children, and they've been so programmed that it's difficult to you know, break the spell that's been put on them.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a choice. You know, I was saying this on my show today. I had a guy on from Wisconsin and a lawyer on from Kingston, Ontario. And we were talking and about, you know, how we can fix this. But the point is that, you know, you take America, where Stephen's from, and Canada, and America is just a hair smaller than China. China's got 1.3 billion people in it. America's got about 350 million. We got 38 million. And between America and Canada, we're the two richest nations on the planet. We need to become independent. I don't want the two countries to join, but we need to work together, and we need to start back manufacturing and growing our food properly, manufacturing our goods, and the rest of the world go suck air. But once we start doing what we're supposed to be doing, then the rest of the world will catch on and go, we're not putting up with their garbage either. Because we cannot allow this small, tiny group of idiots to take control of our lives. These are our lives, not their lives. And, you know, they're just puppets doing the bidding of the idiots in the background, and we have to take control of our countries. In fact, I'm going to put up a post where we need to change the name of Canada, because all these people are going, well, you know, free, we want free Canada. Well, Canada's never been free, nor is America. We need to retool everything and start from scratch and start a new country, because you know,
that's a monumental task, Ron. But
it is, but it's not undoable.
It's not undoable. Like, it's not undoable. But like you said, Canadians are like, they're like a box of rocks. They are.
Well, they are. But I was kind of disappointed in the American people, because when I went down south to work on that Hurricane Andrew, and we had a recession here, I was really disappointed in the people there, because I was there when Waco burned down. And I thought, why aren't the American people over there defending their people? And the people just seemed so docile. And, you know, I thought, boy, you're just like us in Canada now. You know, they just keep the propaganda going and the lies going all the time and keep offering benefits. And, you know, oh, we're getting something for free. No, you're not getting anything for free because we're the ones that pay for it.
No, your great-grandchildren would be paying for it.
All this free benefit nonsense. Just well,
it's the bait. It's a bait and trap, Ron. We know that. Look what Trudeau's doing right now. He's all of a sudden, they're going to have an election. He's going to call an election, but he's just all of a sudden promising the world, the moon, the stars, and everything else to Canadians. You hear the programs that he's proposing. It's just another $1 trillion worth of stuff. I mean, it doesn't matter anyways because it's all fictional money anyways. But the mechanism to destroy our country is accelerating, buddy. This guy's a maniac. But he's going to do exactly that, Ron. He's going to promise you the moon, the stars, and Canadians, unfortunately, the guys that are getting the CERB checks, they're sitting in their houses now going, wow, the government's paying me to sit home. I mean, they don't really understand history, Ron, because history's been taken away in our schooling systems.
They don't know the history.
Well, but they don't want them to know that history, because if they do, they understand history. They'll understand all of a sudden that what we're seeing right now is an exact repetition of history. It's repeating itself almost to the T. You could dot the I's and cross the T's on what's happening today as opposed to any other tyrannical government that's taken over in history. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, I was talking to an East Indian guy when I was getting my coffee this morning. I was saying, you know, how are the farmers doing over in India? Because the big corporations want to take over the farming.
Mm-hmm.
And the East Indians are fighting it because they said when they see the numbers, they won't be able to make a living. They'll be just slaves in the fields. Mm-hmm. And the same thing's going on out in British Columbia now, where the government is trying to remove the right of the farmers, and they don't want them planting food out in BC now.
I saw that.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is the same thing. I mean, what did they do? I don't remember what country it was. I don't know if it was the Ukraine or where it was, but they came into the farm lands and took all the food. And the people starved to death.
And well, you know, if you control the food, Ron, you control the population. It's the same thing that Bill Gates is doing right now in the United States.
And that's exactly what Kissinger said, control the food, control the people.
Mm-hmm.
And they've poisoned all our food, which makes people sick, which sends them to the doctor, who gives them a prescription to go to the pharmacy to buy the pharmaceuticals.
To make you sicker?
It's just a big circle.
To make you sicker, so you go buy more drugs and go back to the doctor again.
Yeah.
You're right, Ron. It is. Well, what's the third biggest killer of people now in North America is drug interaction. And that's a crazy stat, but it's a fact. And I say that, go look it up yourself, folks. You know, interaction, I mean, these guys are the drug dealers in our world, but they're doing it legally.
When I was a young kid, I was at my grandpa's. I think I've said this before, but you know, all these conversations were going on, and then somebody said, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? And everybody stopped. Well, what's going on? Well, she went to the doctor, and the doctor gave her a pill. And the whole room just went silent and went, oh, my God, she's gone feeble. Because why would you be taking a drug? And now, because everybody they worked hard and they ate healthy food and so on and so forth. And they had their own concoctions for when they were sick. And, you know, I was talking to a pharmacist here in town and I asked her what percentage of people are taking pharmaceuticals. And, I started at 40% and, ended up at 90%. And when I got to 90%, she said, yeah, that's pretty close. So if 90% of the people are eating pharmaceuticals, which are not good for you in the first place, you know, this is how dumbed down the population has become.
Well, I didn't know the numbers were that high. in general population on pharmaceutical drugs. I'm going to have to look that up for British Columbia here if I can find that information and find out how many people in our society are doing that.
The population in this town is older, and but I have people my age eating. You know, I ran into a friend who we hung out with when we were teenagers. And I asked him how he was doing, and he told me he was taking this drug and that drug. And I said, what the hell are you taking that for? Well, and I have to take this one to offset the
effects of that drug.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no, they got their little pill boxes, Ron, and they got their 6 pills for breakfast. They've got their 4 pills for lunch. And then at dinner, they've got to take about 9 different pills to offset the effects of the pills you've taken all day long. I know people that are doing that every day. And I'll tell
you, I don't understand it.
Because everything you need, Ron, and I've said this so many times on my shows, that everything you need to heal your body is provided by the earth. All you got to do is research it and embrace it and watch what happens to your body. Watch what happens.
Yeah.
Big Pharma would be, well, just cannabis oil by itself, Ron, would absolutely turn the pharmaceutical world upside down. If everybody had a jar of it, I've said this so many times on my shows over the year, but I believe it adamantly that everybody had a big jar of high-grade cannabis oil beside their bed, and every night before they went to bed, they took a little scoop of that, and you'd have dreams like you wouldn't believe. You'd sleep like a rock, and you would saturate your body with CBDs and CBLs. Your need for pharmaceutical drugs would disappear. You know, the most beautiful thing about cannabis, I'm not going to get into it too much, but I read reports after reports after reports now of its ability to absolutely mitigate the effects of withdrawals from psychotropic drugs. So many people are using it to get off psychotropic drugs. I forget what the numbers are in the United States of America, but they're astronomical. How many people are actually on antidepressants and psychotropics? But the withdrawals from those drugs are catastrophic on the human body. And one of the best things to mitigate those effects is cannabis oil. So I'm reading report after report about that, Ron. We need to embrace that in our society if we want to see monumental changes come really quick. Go ahead.
Well, I won't get into more.
I don't want to get into my cannabis rant because I'll go for
no, no. But nature supplies what's required to keep you healthy. And I have a friend who's a chiropractor who, well, I forget what you call that now. It comes off of birch tree.
Chaga.
They make tea out of it.
Yeah, my chaga. I drink it every day, Ron. How many times have I talked to you about chaga?
Yeah, I have some in my cupboard, and I got to start drinking it. He brought some down for me, but you know, but it's the same thing as when I was a kid, that we had poultices, we had this, we had that, and it made you healthy.
Yep.
And now because my friend he's on all these drugs, and then he looked at me and says, "Well, what are you taking?" I'm not taking anything. Well, how can that be? Because I don't go to the doctor, right? Because when you go to the doctor, they give you a prescription. And then you just follow what they tell you to do. You don't question them. Why am I taking this? You just go and do what they tell you to do.
Well, their whole medical career is paid for by Big Pharma. We know that.
Yeah.
When they go to school, when they come out of medical school, they've got a book of all the human diseases known to man. And then they have another book of all the prescription drugs that are recommended and required to treat these irregularities in the human body. So they're not promoting health. They're promoting prescription drugs because that too pays for their schooling. It's a vicious circle. And yet doctors, you know, the thing about doctors that pisses me off the most is their hypocritical oath is to provide the best care possible to the patients. And they know, they're not stupid, they read stats, they know how many people are dying from drugs and drug interaction, they know. And yet you can still go into the doctor's office and a lot of them will take out their book and give you another prescription and you can come back in a month, something else goes wrong, well, here, try this one, this is the new one. It's just insanity. And they're making millions and billions of dollars off people's misery, buddy.
Yeah.
Get that book I talked about, Ron, the Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. Go down the store and buy that, folks. Go buy it because it tells you about every herb and every natural remedy for everything that goes wrong in the human body. And it's amazing because it works.
Well, you know, like I say, our forefathers knew how to look after each other.
Well, so did the North American Native Indians.
The native people knew exactly what they – it was the same kind of thing. I mean, they were all working with natural ingredients. And now nothing in our country for our lives is natural. You know, I hate it. I go buy a banana and there's no seeds in it.
Right, and henceforth, what? We're the sickest people in the world now. North America, Ron, we're number one in the world. We are the sickest nations in the world. Isn't that great? Yet, you know what? We spend 10 times as much on health care. The United States and Canada spend 10 times as much on health care as the next closest nation, and we are the sickest people in the world. Why is that, folks?
Well, why that is that our forefathers who came here, okay, it's all about, they want to get, and this is difficult to talk about sometimes, but our forefathers came here to build us a new house out from under the satanic tyranny that Luther outed. And what they want is to get rid of us. Okay, we're standing in their way. Okay, they can't get control of the world until they get rid of us. And we're not going to let that happen. Plain and simple. You know, I can't think of any more interesting time to be alive. You know, it's a pain in the ass. But, you know, I'm just so happy about the young people. They seem to understand it all. And they seem to be questioning things now, which means when you question, you go research. And when you research, you find answers. And but they're very, very nervous about their future. Like I said, our job is, you know, that's our duty, is to make sure that they have a future and a nation. And, you know, between America and Canada, we don't need anybody. You know, we need absolutely nothing. We've got everything we possibly could need, but we don't have any control over anything.
Oh, we've been sold out, Ron. We were sold out years and years and years ago. China owns most of Canada right now, and they're influencing, controlling most of our economy. Most of our decisions are being influenced by communist China. Well, we need to put a stop to it right now.
No, it's not. When they took our manufacturing away from us in the 70s, and you know, they took our tariffs off everything, and moved all our manufacturing to China, and did the same thing in the States, and told us that we didn't need to work in factories and this and that and the other thing, because we were moving to the technological age. Well, they moved that to India, you know, so they just keep telling people stories, and people keep just allowing it to happen. Our people used to be really proud, and we used to manufacture really good stuff that lasted for near ever. And now we're buying all this junk from China. And I remember again when I was a kid, when you know, we'd be in the store or something, and people would be, oh, there's something from China. Well, don't buy that shit. Right? And now everything pretty much is from low wage countries.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we don't do anything. You know, we don't manufacture anything we need.
We've become a service based society, and that doesn't function in today's world. So that's got to change, of course. But we've been sold out for years and years and years. To change now, it's going to take real strong will of people to make these changes, Ron. And unless to be, you know, I want to share your optimism. I really do. But I have to be realistic about what I see going on. And right now, I honestly feel that if we don't put a stop to what's going on in this country in the next couple of years, there isn't going to be too much left of Canada. That we have lost so much freedoms, especially with the rollout of these vaccine passports. You know, they're going to try and bring that in, mandatory vaccines. You know, they're rolling out the vaccine program across the country. They're implementing the army to go across. What is that all about? We're bringing the army in to roll out a vaccine program? What does that sound like to you, Ron? But that's what they're doing. Isn't that scare the crap out of you? Because that scares the crap out of me, buddy. That's one step away from. And did you hear what Doug Ford said about your province? Did you hear his latest statement this morning or yesterday? He made a statement that if people don't take the vaccine, we might end up having to go house to house. Are you kidding
me? Well, I actually
this is a Premier of Ontario saying this?
I actually saw an article today who are living in government housing
are going to be forced to take the vaccine.
They're already knocking on their doors and they open the door and they're being vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on, guys. If that doesn't scare the crap out of people, Ron, I don't know. We are really starting to lose this in this country. We are. Like I said, I want to share your optimism, but we really need people right now to get off their butts and get involved because we are at a pinnacle right now. We could lose it all, Ron. We really could, especially with given the light of what the political situation is in the United States now. That scares the crap out of me because at least with Trump, if there was a major insurrection in Canada and our country was forced into a communist state, and believe me, that can happen. Don't say it can't, but that could happen. You know that Trudeau is in bed with the Chinese. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We know that he has been doing stuff to this country for the last 4 years that he should be in jail for. But to say that you can't have a major insurrection in a country, that could happen, I believe, with just one major false flag or one major economic situation in Canada would give them the control they need. So now we got this maniac running the United States of America, and we got another maniac running Canada. That doesn't really make for a good situation for us, Ron. I mean, we could talk about this stuff, but those are things I think about all the time is like, what is going on in the U.S. right now? And what is going on with Trudeau? We have no opposition in our government in any shape or form that the NDPs, the Greens, the Conservatives, they're all the exact same snake. One has lipstick on, the other one doesn't. So we really got to change the system quick if we're going to save this country. And then I could be
well. That's up to us.
We have to do that. We have to educate people.
And yes, you know, we do.
Some days I wonder. I share information with people.
So I'm going to do up a thing. I'm going to do up a brochure for the young kids, the students, and get them to take it to their parents and have them attempt to educate their parents, because it's the parents that need to be educated. They think Canada, oh, what a wonderful country. When in fact it's not. And if I can get the students educate their parents, then we can move forward. Because once the parents understand that their children and grandchildren, basically, their heads are on the chopping block. That any parent should stand up for their child's future. If we can, you know, it's all about breaking that spell, right? That's been on us for so freaking long. And I am absolutely certain that we're going to win this. I wouldn't be doing any of this stuff if I wasn't sure we were going to win it. We have the capacity. We have the numbers. We just have to wake the so-called sheep. But once we start, you know, it's like when I was talking to the counselor the other day, I said, you know, like, the council only is there for one day a week, and sometimes they go for meetings and stuff. But they're not in charge of stuff. It's the administration, and the CAOs are trained on how to move this through the council. So they figure out what they want to do from the globalist side, and they put it together in such a manner that it sounds like a good idea to the council. But the council don't have a clue.
Well, they dress it up and put
and then the council just votes for it.
Yep.
And
they don't even know what they're doing.
And but this gentleman, you know, when we were at the all candidates meeting, he went back in history, talking about his forefathers and that, and why they came here and all this kind of stuff. And so he understands The problem with the local municipalities is every time somebody tries to speak the truth, they get jumped on.
Right.
And we can't allow that to happen. You know, we got to put a stop to it.
Are you the next mayor of Kincardine?
Pardon me?
Are you the next mayor of Kincardine?
Oh, I don't think that unless we can last time I ran, I was charged with assault, even though I didn't assault anyone, and because they know I know. And 6 months later, in a it wasn't an open courtroom, it was a private courtroom, and between the Crown and the judge and that, they said there's absolutely no evidence anywhere that you assaulted anybody. I said, no, they just did that because they wanted to shut me down during the election. But this is why I keep saying that that one man can't make a change, right? We have to change the narrative, and that's going to take a fair
few people willing to get involved.
Yeah. Right. Once the people get involved and they start talking the truth instead of the lies, we can change the narrative. Once the narrative is changed, we get control of our country. It's that simple, because nobody's going to put up with the bullshit. Excuse my language.
Yeah. But nobody's going to put up with it. A lot of people still are running. Those scares me, man. It's the people that are rolling up their sleeves right now to take this vaccine. It's unbelievable that people can't look into this and do a little bit of research themselves to find out what's going on with this vaccination program and what they're actually doing to people. The damage is irreversible, man. Once they get this into your body, you've got it there, and it's never going away.
It's like we're living in a bad movie right now, but
we're in a horror show, buddy.
We have the power, and we don't have a choice. Either we change it, or we go down. And we got to stay on a very, very positive mindset, right? We got to just lose any negativity whatsoever. We have to get very positive that we're going to win this. And everybody roll up their sleeves and get to work and start educating the other people. Don't look at them like they're stupid. It's like Bertrand Russell said, man was born ignorant because there's nothing in his brain when he's born, but he was made stupid through education. Mm-hmm. And, that's exactly true. And they so deeply stick that in your head that you're not supposed to challenge or question authority, be it the teacher, the principal, or the hall monitor. By the time you get through a grade 12, that's so impregnated in your head, any idiot can come up to you with a piece of paper and says, oh, the government says you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
We've been programmed
Spell. They put a spell on the people, and we just got to snap that. And once that's snapped, and once people understand why their forefathers came here, and what they knew their duty was, and your child or your grandchild have no future whatsoever if you don't wake up. And hopefully people will say, well, I have to, you know, I have an obligation to the young people. It's not a big deal. You know, it's frustrating as hell, but it's not a big deal. I mean, that guy ran into that Greenfield guy from Global Canada. Now, he was a head guy at the World Economic Forum, and he was with the UN and so on and so forth. All these people who people don't even know about in the background have been pushing this stuff forward for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand it, but all we really have to do is learn the power of that simple little word, no. You know, people complain. They complain a lot, but they don't really understand it. And once the understanding is there, it's over.
Well, I bang the head against the wall every day, Ron, because I can put information in front of people that's actual factual information. I ask them, don't believe me. I say this to people all the time. I said, don't believe me. Just go look this up yourself. And it seems like a lot of people I'm talking to just don't want to come out of the matrix. They want to stay inside the little box, believing that the government would never do anything wrong, that the government would never work against them. I'm still seeing that in a lot of society. In the other side of the story is I'm seeing a lot of people now starting to wake up to this in droves. Even in my little town here, there's people now that are really starting to pay attention.
Well, this is what
we
I
need
said.
To, we like, need to accelerate this, Ron, because they're powerful.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy about this right now because I said this a long time ago. They did it so incrementally.
Right.
Over so many generations.
Right.
That people didn't even notice it.
Exactly.
Now these clowns are trying to get across the finish line, and they're pushing like hell, and that alone will start to wake people up.
Yeah, well, this third lockdown has really got people's talking, Ron, and so they should. We're seeing bigger pushback against it now than we have in the last year, and you're going to see that accelerate in the next little bit here, I believe. People are starting to get pissed right off, and so they should
be. Once people understand that the plan is, one, you're not going to own a house. Two, you're not going to own a vehicle. Okay?
You'll own nothing.
You will own nothing.
You'll be happy.
I don't know how that
and
is.
And you will like it.
It's a great reset, and Trudeau told us he's bringing it in, man. I mean, just look at the world like you talked about the World Economic Forum. Well, Chrystia Freeland, our executive prime minister, sits on the board of directors, right with Klaus Schwab on the council of the World Economic Forum. Same thing with Michelle Rempel. She's involved. They're all involved. It's finding its way into our
bank. They're all involved.
All our financial institutions now, the World Economic Forum is having an influence on. So slowly but surely, like you said, Ron, they're taking a piece here and a piece there. This COVID-19... If they came out and actually told people the truth, Ron, if they told people that, you know, these medical emergencies that we've been enacting every month for the last year and a bit, next month we'll make an announcement. Well, if they came out and told the people the truth that these medical emergencies will never, ever, ever, ever be lifted unless the people stand up and put a stop to it, then people are just going to go along with this. But if they came out and told everybody, hey, you know, this is the way it's going to be for the next however many years, this is the new world you're in, you're losing all your freedoms, then you'd see people get active. But every month it's the same thing. Another 30 days, it's never going to stop. 2035, they said we might be back to normal.
Well, what really bothers me about this so-called pandemic...
Scandemic.
Is that you've got a recovery rate of 99 point whatever.
0.8% of the population never affected by it.
How can that possibly be a pandemic?
It doesn't. It has never yet, Ron, reached even the first level of what there's five different levels. If you look up pandemic and study it, the definition of pandemics, there's five different levels of pandemics. And to get to level one, the virus has to be affecting 1.5% or 0.5. So one half of 1% of the population has to be directly affected by it to hit the first level. If you hit the fifth level, I was looking at this, and it's the fifth level, 7% of our population would have to be directly affected by this. In other words, seven out of 100 people would be sick with this. The hospitals would be full. It would be everywhere. And yet, I ask people every day, how many people do you know that's actually been affected by this? And 99% of the people say nobody.
Exactly.
So what the hell's going on here, folks?
Yeah. Why is everybody
afraid? Never affected by it, Ron. The only people that are being affected by this is senior citizens in our society. Well, that's the same with any virus that's come along in the last 20 years. It always affects the elder because their immune systems are compromised. I mean, we get older, our systems become weaker. But somebody a healthy person in their 20s, the chances of them contracting this and dying from it, or you'd have to get maybe 15 times what it would take to get struck by lightning. It's just astronomical, the actual percentages that are dying from this thing. But, of course, it's just being ramped up. It's being the numbers are being fudged. We're using this CPR test, or this PCR test. They're so inaccurate. When we ramp up, they'll get false negatives like crazy. The government is just ramming this up our butts, and people are just not getting it. They're just not seeing what's going on in front of them. I'm talking about the general population. There's a lot of us that are waking up, but we really got to get through these other people. And all we need to do, Ron, we need to take over the CBC for one day, okay? Just for one day, let's put real information on the air for Canadians to hear, and we turn this whole thing around. Go ahead.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing how they are. I mean, they did this when we were fighting the wind farms and that. They did the same thing. I mean, any negative idea about the wind farms and that was shut down. And it's the same thing now. I mean, there's no independent media. That all ended in the 70s. You know, when I went to Vancouver Island in the 70s, and I'd been working in Calgary, and they wanted me to go to Winnipeg. And I said, no, I'm going to head out. I go see my – and they told me there was a big recession out there. There's no work. Mm. I told them there's always work. You just got to deal with it. But when I got to Nanaimo, there was all kinds of people with, signed petitions, which I – you know, what are you signing a petition for, right? Just go get the thing fixed. So I spent some time with all these different people that were protesting and getting people to sign stuff and figure out what the problem was. And then I just went through the system three times to make sure I got everything right. And I wrote a piece, and I took it to the mainstream media, and they read it and they said, we're not printing this. Why? It's the truth. Well, we don't want nothing to do with this. So back then there was still some independent media, and I went to the independent guy, and he read it, and he says, you back this up? And I said, it wouldn't be on paper if I can't back it up. Mm. And he says, this has got to get printed, but I can't do it this week, because we're going to press. And then when I got back to my sister's place, the phone rang, and the guy from the independent newspaper said, this is too important. I pulled a bunch of other stuff. We're going. But I had to call the mayor and a couple other institutions and so let them know this is coming at them. And then I got a call from the mayor's office and a couple other offices inviting me out to dinner. try to shut this down, and I just said, no, I'm not interested. Just get it fixed. And within 2 days, the petitions were gone, the protesters were gone, because it was fixed. And we can fix anything, right? We have the capacity to fix this stuff. We need to out our local municipalities. Okay, because they've been implementing this stuff since about 1994. And once the people understand what the heck's going on at the local level, because most people pay no attention to the local level. They just think they keep the water running, the sewers working. They don't have a clue what's going on. They don't have any idea that the local municipality of which they live in is actually trying to take them down.
Because they never go to
once the people
meetings.
Understand that, they're not going to be too happy, because they're doing it without the consent of the people, without the knowledge of the people, and that's why it's global to local. Implement the global agendas locally, all across the country, and then we own them. And we got to wake those people up.
Well, I know, Ron. We're not too far away from that. We still have time. I know we still have a window of opportunity to stop this. But I keep saying that Canadians are really going to have to take a good look in the mirror and be willing to make some sacrifices and get involved in stopping this, because their power base is growing.
We have to become vocal. We got to start putting out some brochures and whatnot into the public stream so they can read it and check it out. because when I was in Florida, that was very crooked down there. And I kept notes, and I went to – I couldn't believe that guy. I went to the Miami Herald, for crying out loud, sat down with the editor, and asked him to read the notes because I wanted it printed. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me, and he said, "We're not printing this." I said, "But it's the truth." And that really blew me away, because the editor of the Miami Herald said, "The truth. We don't give a damn about the truth." And this is the kind of system that we're in. You know, everything that's pushed at the people, be it in the newspapers, on TV, you know, in the news at night or on the shows on TV, everything is a lie.
Of course. Completely controlled.
Yeah.
I mean, CNN, before Ted Turner bought CNN, if you go back and look into the programs when they first started out, there was a little bit of legitimacy to them. But as soon as Turner bought it, it's a propaganda arm for the leftist movements, and they control all media in North America, all mainstream media. They're not allowed to put out anything that they want, man. They just completely control. They're told what they can bring out to the public and what they can't. And if you listen to the station, they're all reciting the same bullshit. I mean, bullcrap.
Well, I had a mainstream radio station here when I was working with the farmers, with the windmills or the wind farms that were causing them all kinds of trouble. You know, they used to call me when some guest would be on about wind, and get me to call in because I knew all this stuff from the 70s. And so the host said, you know, "Can you stay on for the whole show?" And I go, "Sure." And then at the end, he said, "You know, you need your own show." And I said, "Well, I'd really appreciate that." And after about 2 months, you know, I said, "I'm not getting a show, am I?" He said, "No." I go, "Why not?" He said, "You know why." I said, "I know, but I'd like to hear it." He said, "You know too much. We'll never be able to hang on to you." So, you know, the people in the media, they've all sold their souls. And everyone in government sold their souls. And so that just leaves it up to us, right? And we're the ones that have to rise up. You know, in the old days, you just go and get some hemp rope and just find a tree and hang these people.
Or just shoot them.
But we can't do that right now.
Because we're civilized.
Well, yeah. But, you know, like...
And rotary.
Well, I don't like, you know, if you want to get in a fight, I'll get in a fight with you, but I don't really care for violence much. But, you know, if it comes to worst comes to worst, we're going to end up doing what the native people did in Mexico. And, you know, they were, you know, international companies were coming in and clear cutting their bush and that. And the native people were freaking out about it, but they weren't stopping. And in the end, they just went into the council and threw the council and the administration out of town, not out of the council chamber, but out of town. And then, you know, and I know that the police aren't usually from your area. They come in from somewhere else. And the native people just went to the police and threw them out of town. And hired their own people as police, hired their own people as council, and now they have control of their area.
Well, we need to do that with the RCMP right now, Ron, because they've gone complete police state in Canada. If you see what's going on in Alberta right now, I don't know if you've been following what's going on at the church up there, but I've never seen anything like I saw today in a video of literally a line. There had to be, I bet at least 150 cops lined up, RCMP on our dollar, on our dime, lined up on one side of this fence. They put the fence all around the church, out at least, I'd say, a good quarter mile around the property, all the way around. Along the front of this, the whole length of that fence, they had RCMP lined up with riot clubs in their hand. On the other side of the fence, you've got 1,000 or more Canadians screaming at them. We are in a full-blown police state in Canada. This is communism 2.0, where the police are actually breaking criminal code violations blatantly, not just but this has got where we're at right now, Ron, that you've got a mosque in Milton, Ontario right now, and in the great province of Ontario that was allowed to have services, had 200 cars in their parking lot, and all the other churches in Canada are being shut down, man.
Well, this is what I'm saying, Barry. Our forefathers who came here,
they're rolling in their graves right now.
Okay, they if they could get out of their graves,
they'd do something about this.
The cheeks of our ass would be up around our ears.
I know, but Canadians are gutless, Ron. Our country is so gutless. You know why? Because they've never seen an enemy inside the gates. They don't know what the enemy is and why it's inside the gates. They don't identify it because the wars have always been fought over there in Europe, in Germany, blah, blah, blah. And now the enemy's inside our gates and Canadians just aren't getting it. And they better wake up.
Well, this
quick,
is the
buddy,
thing, though. I know the mosques are open, but the Christian churches are shut down.
Shut down, and fences and police barricading around. What the hell is that all about, Ron? Come on, if that doesn't wake people up, if that doesn't wake them up to how far we've gone down this road in this country already, then we are going to lose it, friend. And I don't want to be negative, but when I see that going on in my country, that just doesn't happen in Canada, but it's happening right now as we speak. And what do we hear from mainstream? Cricket.
We have to be strong people. Like my uncle was a cop for about a year. And, you know, they're giving him a hard time for not handing out tickets. And he said, but they didn't do anything wrong.
Doesn't matter.
Well, you got to give them a ticket. And after about a year of this, my uncle just looked at them and said, this is so full of crap, it's nuts, right? I don't want nothing to do with it. Because a strong man, an intelligent man, wouldn't put up with this kind of crap. Most cops got a very low IQ, and they're getting a decent paycheck.
Yep.
But they just do as they're told.
Yeah, just doing my job. Just doing my job, they say.
Yeah, just doing my job. And it's like I told the one lady at the administration at the municipal council, she said that to me. She said, I'm just doing my job. And I'm saying, well, Nuremberg said that doesn't fly.
Yeah, and the SS said that when Germany was been taken over, too. They're just doing their job.
You can't make that excuse. I'm just doing my job because you're harming people. And, you know, when I got that $880 ticket and I've talked to the law society and the lawyers and the top guys from the attorney general's office and, you know, people just have to understand this, you know, like the one guy from the attorney general's office, I took him back through some history. And at the end, when we were done, he agreed 100%. Canada is nothing more than a rebranded freaking Hudson's Bay Company.
Watch your time, Barry.
Truth, if you follow the history back.
Yeah, I got it, Steve.
And
we're down to 6 minutes here, Ron. So I don't want to cut you off.
You don't have 6 minutes.
Are we out of time already?
Well, we're just about.
Holy jumpins.
I know, time flies, buddy. Same thing the last hour. I just got talking after the time's up. But look, I'm going to let you
I'm thinking,
share a
Barry,
few last thoughts.
I'm thinking you maybe should do 7 hours a day.
Okay, well, look at Ron. I'll get you back in real soon. Okay, how's that? But yeah, I'm gonna let you share a few last thoughts, and then I'm gonna have to let you go, my friend.
All right,
well,
Ron.
The last thought is that we cannot. I hear so many people saying, you know, we're gonna lose the country, you know, or we're screwed. That's a wrong ass attitude. Okay, we have to keep an extremely positive attitude that we're going to win because we don't have a choice but to win. Because if we don't win, we don't have a nation, we don't have our resources, and they want to control every aspect of our lives. Now, why would we allow anyone to do that? So we just got to keep a positive attitude going here, and we will win.
Hang on a second, Barry.
I'm gonna go with it. Yes, Steve.
I want to tell Ron something.
You guys, you and Barry and Stephen, I can't appreciate the work you do. or can't appreciate enough. You do a good job, and thanks for having me on, and you guys take care.
Okay, Ron. I was going to unfriend you and block you after that last remark, but you're forgiven now. 7 hours.
7 hours. Good luck with that. Okay, Ron, listen, we'll have you back real soon, buddy. I'm going to take a break here for a minute, and I'll be back with Jürgen Wallraff here in about 4 minutes. And I know he's got a lot to talk about today, too. So thanks for coming in, Ron. Always a pleasure.
You guys take care and have a great day.
Okay. Bye for now.
Okay.
Slowly.
to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Well, welcome back to Third Hour, folks, and thanks again to Ron for coming in. I always enjoy talking with him, and well, I got Jürgen Vollrath in for the last hour here, and Jürgen's got a mouthful of food in his mouth right now, so I'm going to give him a few seconds. When he says he can talk, we'll get him going here, but always good to have Jürgen in. Enjoy my conversations with this gentleman. He's extremely intelligent and a real true Canadian patriot, and like the rest of us, he's pulling his hair out right now watching what's going on in this great country of ours. Welcome back to the show, Jürgen. Always great to have you in, my friend.
Thanks a lot for having me again, Barry and Steve. The great job you guys are doing. I listened to the last part of your show. I didn't catch the first hour, unfortunately, but again, a good job, and always interesting discussion, and that's what I like. It's like we're just sitting together, a couple of buds, and we're talking about what the heck's going on, right?
Well, I just scripted a show.
Yeah, well, I just let people know that I'm in Facebook jail again, because I'm in jail more often than I'm on Facebook, just so any of my followers know. I'd like to know one thing. If we have so many fact checkers that know all the facts, why don't they just start their own channel on TV and just give us nothing but the truth and facts? They could call it like the news or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right?
Instead of trampling on us all the time. You see the censorship, Jürgen, last week. It's just right off the scales, buddy.
You know why they took me off this time? Is because I posted a meme that had the patent numbers of H1N1, SARS, Ebola, and all of them. And it's because on the meme it questions the fact that all of these things are patented and humanity doesn't really need them, and it means that somebody's just making money off things that kill humans.
Mm.
So,
That's real news.
Yeah.
No, any real information, they are absolutely – I'm hearing it from everybody right now, Jürgen, and they're just attacking us left, right, and center. You can't basically just put it, I mean, everything. They're shutting everything down. But yeah. We knew this
liars
was coming.
Are in charge.
Oh, boy, our country. What's going on right now in Alberta right now, Jürgen? That's just got me.
There's a couple of major things happening.
More scared than I've ever, not scared, more in fear for my country than I've ever been before in my life at this point, what I see going on right now. Go ahead.
Well, actually, you know what, Barry? I also am afraid because of the and we've talked about this over the years, you and I, the apathetic nature of the Canadian mentality. However, right now I see many things right from Vancouver to Alberta to Montreal that are signs that the awakening is arising. This thing in Alberta with the church, boy, oh, boy, I would think that every day that this is happening, more eyes are opening to the reality of the truth. I cannot see people looking at this and saying with any logic in their brain that this makes any kind of sense when, like you said in your last hour, that the mosque in wherever it was is allowed to have 200 cars in the darn parking lot.
Yeah, that was videoed.
Exactly. So, but you also have that event in Montreal where there's 50 cops or so arrested David Menzies and the rebel crew for staying in an Airbnb in Montreal, right? Because they were going to report on the protests there. And all the other journalists are calling them the Jew Network and all this kind of anti-Semitism stuff. It's just beyond the pale. And the people in this country, and both your guest, Ron, that you had in the last hour, and yourself, you mentioned it. We have a country that is just full of deadbeats and people sitting on the couch and waiting for somebody else to do something that they think that they don't have a responsibility to do. And that's our biggest problem. You and I know it. However, I see bright light. You know, where a lot of people may see doom and gloom, I see bright lights. I see the fact that you've got maybe 150 cops at that church, but you got 1,000 people. I see that. That is a sign that people are coming, and they're not going to get away with this. This is all going to stop. I just watched a woman, a video this morning, and your audience may appreciate this. She has discovered 16 DUMS, D
deep underground military bases under the city of London. She just broke it. I think it was today or yesterday. Was it today or yesterday? I think it was today. She had a network of 42 people, and they found the entrances and the exits of some of these, of 16 dumps in under the city of London. Now,
London, England, you're talking about.
Yeah, London, England. Okay. And she was adamant that with this breaking, what they just found, all the information has been sent to the right people. And here's the thing. Here's the right people. And everybody should know this, right? The right people right now is the American military, because the American military right now is in charge of everything you see going on. Because the American military, if they weren't in charge, they would have all been fired by now by the new alleged Biden administration. All the heads of the chief of staff, they'd be gone by now. It's already a few months into this administration. They don't keep chief of staffs from previous administrations. They go. They're gone. But not these chiefs of staff. And these are all people loyal to the Constitution of the United States. Because we have to remember, this is a 58 or 54-year plan. This is not just a four-year Donald Trump thing. This is a plan that's been in the works for a long, long time. To get the real Constitution back in play in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot of things that are pretty cool. And like I say, it is very alarming in Canada, that's for sure, especially what I see in Montreal with the police state rising and arresting real reporters, because the Rebel is the only outfit that I see telling any kind of a truth in our media anymore in this country, other than yourself and you know, citizen journalists that are popping up all over the place. However, what we have to watch for is new citizen journalists arriving on the scene that are controlled opposition and that are in this for themselves, are not in it for the movement. I see it. I've been at places where I speak. I see people that seem to be in it for themselves, not in it for the movement. So we have to be very, very careful. You know, I Barry, you and I, we're of the older generation, right? And I was just thinking of my history before I came on the program of how long I've been politically active. And I've been politically active for 54 years, so I see it. I see a lot of.
Well, I can't say that. I can't say that even close, Jurgen. Honest to God, not even close. Not a maybe a fraction of that. But I'm awake now. That's for sure.
And well, and that's it.
It's never too late.
Doesn't matter when. It's as long
as you wake up. As long as you wake up.
That's right. Doesn't matter when, for sure.
You know what woke me up, Jurgen? I sat down. I was just kind of a normal guy fishing and picking mushrooms. And not really, I know there's corruption in the government. But really, I sat down one night and watched Architects of Truth, 9/11. And that, buddy, that was like getting hit. I'll never forget the feeling I had that night. It was like getting hit with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
That I could not believe what I was seeing. I was sitting there just dumbfounded. And that was the turning point. Once you realize in your life that we're dealing against people that are so evil, that are so, I don't even have words to describe them. They're entities from hell. Okay, that's what they are in my books. That these people are running our world. And at that point, I realized that we had a struggle coming up. And all this stuff that we talked about years and years and years ago was going to come to play. And now we see it here on steroids, buddy. So I can't shut up, Ron. And I know, or Jurgen, I know you can't shut up. We're in here for the long run, that's for sure. But that was my wake-up experience, and that was only 8 years, 9 years ago, so I don't have 54 years in. But now that I'm awake, you never go back to sleep, that's for sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was 1967 when I decided to cheer for Pierre Trudeau to become the prime minister of this country, because as a youth, I was swept into Trudeau-mania, which was which enveloped the entire country at the time. As I'm sure
I remember that.
It was everybody got caught in. I don't care what your politics was. The media created this storm that was just irreversible. It was the first Obama, you know, like what they did in the States for Obama. They did years ago with Pierre Elliott Trudeau. And what woke me up was a few years later. Well, actually, it was probably a couple of years later when I realized that it was Lester B. Pearson who was the real traitor of the Liberal Party, which had been a party of centrists, had sold the Liberal Party to the Communist Party, which Pierre Trudeau was a member of. And I didn't discover that until I helped get him elected. It was after the fact. And, you know, when I look back at my coming from Germany and thinking that my relatives could have been part of the Hitler Youth, and now here I am, part of the Trudeau Youth, what the heck is going on here? What is this world all about? And it just goes to show how these politicians use young, pliable minds that are liberal-minded in the first place, but because let's face it, as a youth, you are really naive. You look at the world with unicorns and all that glorious stuff. Everything can be nice if everybody just gets along.
Kumbaya.
Everybody, kumbaya, let's all sing together, right? So you get all of that, and as a young man, I really got swept into that tornado. Let me tell you, Barry, it was unbelievable because I ended up as a – now think of this. You're 17, 18 years old. You're swept up in this Trudeau mania thing. You're going to all kinds of diplomatic centers. You're going to like I remember going to the embassy, the Greek embassy. I remember going to the Italian embassy because in the high school I was at, there was all these kids. There were sons and daughters of all these different bureaucrats and all these different diplomats that lived in the city of Ottawa. So – I got to see firsthand the opulence, the wealth, the transfer of power, the kind of things that went on. But again, you're looking at it from naive eyes, right? You're looking at it from the eyes of a youth that doesn't know, that thinks that this is supposed to be normal.
Yep,
but as you grow and then you look back, when I look back now and I see and I think of those events and the things that took place and some of the discussions that I overheard and some of the things that that actually, I guess, makes their life because they have a certain lifestyle and they all maintain it that has this kind of reverence, this kind of arrogance over the general population. And, you know, when you realize that's what it is and that they have this air of entitlement about them that goes beyond you and I and the average working stiff who works for a living, that they are in a different world. It is a whole other planet. And the way they use children, like they used me back then, this naive kid who had just sworn allegiance to Canada, wanted to be a Canadian citizen, do whatever I can for this country, only to find out that my own country, the media in it, has betrayed me. This prime minister betrayed me. He's a darn communist. Nobody told us that. They lied to us in the beginning, just like they lied to us now. You know, they said 14 days to flatten the curve, and they lied. They said it's for our safety as they stole everybody's livelihood. And they said that these measures work as cases are rising daily. They lied. They said at the start that masks don't work, and then they do, and now you need two. So it's just a constant barrage of lying to people.
They haven't got a clue. They're just reading the script for the day, Jürgen. Yeah. And people are buying it. But then people don't realize that everything that's been mandated to us through this scamdemic is coming directly or indirectly, I'll say, from the Communist Chinese Party through the World Health Organization and Theresa Tam and all the other players that are involved that are telling us how to handle this thing. Have absolutely destroyed our society.
Say, Barry.
Our society is on a spiral downwards right now. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, you know, I mean, back in like October, November, when it was that they said that COVID spread through farts. And just a couple of months back, they also said if you stare at people too long, you'll get COVID too, or they'll get COVID.
Yeah, no, they've come up with so many different aspects of this since it started. It's unbelievable that people are still buying this. That we see our society now just, you know, Jürgen, I was looking at the numbers for child suicides, and Kellyanne Wolf brought this to my attention, but I went and looked at the numbers for North America, and in 2020, get a load of this, 52 between Canada and the United States of America, 52,500 approximately, I think it's 500 and some odd children under the age of 17 committed suicide. Well, you know, that number is double from the year before. Double.
No, Barry, they died of COVID, Barry.
Huh?
They died of COVID.
Well, that's from depression. That's from depression. That's from children's lives being destroyed, that they can't interact with people of their own age, that everything good in life was taken away from them. Can't play sports. Can't go outside. You're wearing a mask. You're living in a little cubicle. Boys can't be boys anymore. They got to be it. and girls can't be girls. They got to be its. We look at what they're doing to our children, the psychological damage, the damage being done from fear that they should not be exposed to in any shape or form, because this thing is a nothing burger. It's an absolute nothing burger. If people would only look at the numbers for the last 10 years in Canada, you'd find out that what's happened to us is no different than any viral diseases or flus or whatever we've dealt with in the last 10 or 12 years in Canada. The numbers are identical. The only difference is how the mainstream media has rammed this up our derriere so far that we can't even see anymore. It's sad, but it's happening, and people are falling for it, Jürgen. Masketeers walking around outside in fresh air. Oh. Go ahead, buddy, to get into a rant, but it's insane, buddy. It really is. People just, we're supposed to be intelligent beings. You know, we're supposed to be able to think for ourselves. We're supposed to be able to look at things with an attitude like, I'm not going to believe what these guys are going to tell me. I'm going to go look into this for myself. But nobody in society does that anymore. They just go along to get along. Go ahead, Jürgen.
Yeah, and that's the sad part of it, isn't it? They just keep staring at that black TV screen that they're happy to have bought a new one of every second year. This year it's 65-inch, next year it's 75-inch, and whatever.
Just for $300.
It just doesn't stop. And yet, you know, there are some of us, and I truly believe this, I think we've been selected, people like you and I, Barry, and Steve, and people that are awake. We are the selected ones. We are the ones that are going to come out of this with their heads held high. We're the ones that are going to be the ones that they're all going to come to. They're going to come crying to at some point and say, we're sorry. They're going to say that, what can we do? Sorry, we didn't listen to you. You were right all along. And none of that matters, right? Because being right at this point doesn't matter. What doesn't matters matter. Is that we got to get out of this thing, right? And we have to. And I fully believe this. I don't think that on a daily basis more people are falling asleep. More people are waking up every day. So I've got to believe it's heading in the right direction. I've got to believe the trajectory for light and truth over the darkness is heading in an upward fashion. Right?
There are
signs everywhere that more and more people are coming
out. I see it too, Jürgen. I do see that. I see it a lot now.
That's the plus side. The minus side on that is we're not seeing it enough in the urban centers.
Mm.
Okay? We're seeing it in the rural centers. We're seeing it in Alberta. We see it in Quebec. We see it in Montreal because they're allowed to be nationalistic. The rest of the country isn't. We're multicultural, while Quebec is allowed to be French, right?
Right.
So
right. Of course.
They have
of course.
A situation where they're allowed to be nationalistic. So you see tens of thousands in the streets in Montreal, where you see maybe 8 or 9, maybe 10,000 if you're lucky in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Same in Vancouver. How many are you going to get out of the 3 or 4 million that live there and the outskirts, right? How many did you get to a rally? In terms of that, when you look at a place like Medicine Hat, again, yesterday, I think there was like 30 or 40 people there. Per capita, Medicine Hat is way more patriotic than Calgary or Edmonton.
Calgary seems to be getting more and more people out now, though.
Calgary's starting to pick it up.
Wake up. But, yeah, they're starting to pick it up a lot.
But for the percentage of the population, you know, you look at Toronto and Vancouver, they better pick it up because they're the ones that call the shots, Toronto specifically, right? I think the movement in Toronto has to do with they should move in full force against the Toronto District School Board and wipe that freaking unit right out. Just wipe it out, get rid of it, replace it, and start over.
Most evil organization in the world.
On the planet, the richest, most evil organization. Yep. Absolutely, bar none. Second to none.
Absolutely. And the fact that they're doing what they're doing to our children just tears my heart apart. It really does.
They drive the agenda for all the school boards of the rest of the country.
They do so, and their power is immense. People got to start getting involved in the schools, man, because what they're doing in our schools
is
just a travesty. It really is. I mean, gender dysphoria in our schools alone, man, the programs that they're bringing in. It's just, what are we going to have for children, and what are we going to have for adults in 10 years from now? Crickets that will do anything they're told to do.
I have a very disturbing story out of Ottawa, Barry, when you're in reference to that. We know somebody, and their young child is in a school. I believe she's 11 or 12 years old. And apparently in this class, out of all the kids in her age group, she's the only straight one there. Everyone else is happy to be coming trans. And now what? Here's another. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It frightening. When I heard that, I was just this is firsthand knowledge. This is what? She's the only straight girl in her class. They're all transitioning, the rest of them.
What?
They all want to be the opposite. And she's actually getting vilified for being straight and white.
And this is in Ottawa?
Yeah, this is in Ottawa. This is really bad. Wow. Just outside of Ottawa. Let's just call it Ottawa.
I've never heard of this, Ron, or you're going to have never heard of this.
Well, you heard it now. This is firsthand news, and it's real. It's real. It's real. It's firsthand. Somebody we know. Wow. So, so everybody should.
Look, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. I didn't think the numbers were any near what you're saying here.
Well, here's something else.
Just an oddball school, but that seems like insanity to me.
No, it's public school. Here's another thing you should look into. I just got this news today, but we hear that the vaccine contains a trans gene.
Okay. We talked about this in the first hour.
Did you talk about it first hour?
We talked about nanotubes that are in the vaccines and in the test swabs and the masks themselves. We're finding nanotubes now. Whether that's tied into what you're talking about, go ahead and tell us what you're going to say there for a second. You're going to didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, no, just that. Just know that there are trans genes in the vaccine as well. So you know the nano stuff. We know that the RFID chips are possibly in there. We know that there's nanoparticles that they could put in these things. We don't know what they're putting in there. Right, but it's gene therapy type of stuff being put in as well. So that goes with everything they're doing, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. I just saw some pictures of some statues in the Netherlands, and another one, I forget where it was, but it showed a couple where they were completely inverted, naked. The woman had breasts and a penis, and a man had the vagina.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that statue? Yeah.
Couldn't believe that's in Denmark, I think it was.
That's in Denmark, yeah. And there's another one.
Are you nuts?
Yeah, there's another one with the woman with the penis that has two arms, and on the, I think it's the left arm, it has another arm coming out of that arm. So these transhumanists that are in control, these psychopaths that want to combine artificial intelligence with humanity, they're losing it at big time, and I think they're one of their vehicles to try to accomplish what they're doing is this whole transgender thing. I mean, if they're putting it in vaccines and we got nanoparticles. Oh, here's something before I forget. We're talking about nanoparticles. I wanted to, again, mention to your audience, if you're older and you're going for blood tests, ask to get checked for aluminum. Do it.
Yeah.
Because they don't do it. Your doctor will recommend your prostate and all this other stuff. Get checked for this, get checked for that. They will never, ever. Barium, strontium, aluminum, titanium.
Potassium iodide, everything they're spraying in the atmosphere.
Everything that's up there.
Your blood.
Yep. I paid $50, and I don't know if I told this story before on the show, but I paid $50, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago back in Ontario to have my blood tested for aluminum. The doctor didn't want to do it. I wanted barium and strontium as well. They wouldn't do it. And this was because I had just tried to melt some snow that I couldn't melt. I had the 50-acre property, and for the first time in my life, it felt like the snow wasn't real. So I went outside. I grabbed some snow off my porch. I couldn't burn it. It turned black. It wouldn't melt. It wouldn't even get soft in my hand. I thought, what the heck is this white stuff? And so I decided to go to the doctor, and I wanted, okay, tell me how much aluminum is in my blood. I think we're breathing in aluminum. I think it's falling from the sky.
It is.
So, it is for sure. So I had the reading, and they gave me the reading after a little while. I paid, I think it was $50 I paid to have aluminum. It was a PSA test I was getting, and I added the aluminum. That came in a couple months later, and my reading was like 84 parts per million, okay, aluminum in my blood. So what I did was I went to the Canadian government website, and I said, okay, what is the allowable tolerance of aluminum in your system that you don't go crazy or get dementia or whatever, right? So apparently on the government it says that anywhere zero from 250 parts per million is safe. And I thought, okay, zero to 250, even in terms of a million, seems like a huge gap, right? From zero to 250, it couldn't be zero to 50 or zero to 10 or it seemed like a lot. So I,
a lot of tolerance there.
Yeah, there's a lot of room for wiggle, right? So I thought, okay, let me have a look around and see if I can find any kind of scientific study anywhere that has tested the what's good for the aluminum in your body. I checked universities all over. I finally, I think it was Harvard, if I'm not mistaken. I went into their research, and they had come up with a study, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 years ago. And nobody's done anything since then. But that study confirmed that anything above 0.5 was harmful to your system. And here's our Canadian government saying that anywhere from 0 to 250 is safe. Wow. The Harvard study said anything above 0.5 is dangerous to your health.
Yeah, that number seems to resonate with me because I read a study on the effects of aluminum and what the tolerable levels were when it starts slaughtering millions of your brain cells. You know that autism is our fastest rising disease in North America now.
Exactly.
And why is that? Because we're surrounded by aluminum. It's everywhere. Yep. I mean, they're spraying in our skies, guys. They've been doing it for years. And if it goes into our skies, it gets into our soil. If it gets into our soil, it gets into our food. So we're breathing it in our nose. We're eating it in our food. We're just being surrounded by this stuff, and you wonder why people are losing their minds. Slow kill, they call it, Jürgen.
Yeah.
Exactly sure what is going on. Well, everything they're doing to us, every aspect of our lives is negative to human health, if you think about it. If we sat and talked about all the things that's going on in our world right now that they've changed, say in the last, we'll go for like maybe 100 years, the things, the changes they've made into our society since things were the way they were supposed to be on this earth. The earth was functioning the way it's supposed to function. And we're using the things on the earth that was provided for us to heal ourselves. We've got totally away from that. And look where we are now. We are in a world of hurt. We're at a point now where we can actually wipe out life on this planet. And that's insanity. But we've done that because we've allowed the perpetration of nuclear power on the planet, man. There's an old saying, Jürgen, one day that sun is going to burn us, and we've unleashed it on the planet. We're insane. We're committing suicide, and it's all for nothing. But it's for the buck, the big dollar, man. Sorry, didn't mean to get off on a tangent there. Go ahead.
That's okay. That's what we do.
Well, I know. I get thinking about something. I just got to, because it's insanity. It really is. When we look at what this planet was, Jürgen, before the start of the Industrial Revolution, how beautiful this planet was, a completely all-encompassing ecosystem that worked off itself and lived off itself and provided everything we needed. And we've literally just made a mess of it. We really have. And we need to change that. One of the things we could do, boy, is we talk about it all the time, Jürgen, is industrial hemp. And when the society finally we start to embrace that widespread, we might have a chance on stopping. Our biosphere right now is in bad shape. You know that, eh, Jürgen? I don't know if you've done any studies on it, but people aren't aware of the fact that our biosphere is literally, and this is Harvard done studies on, there's been all kinds of reports released in the last 3 years on the actual state of the biosphere of the planet, because we've been spraying chemicals in our skies for how many years? Well, eventually that's going to take its toll. And they're telling us now that we are literally getting to a point where the planet might not be able to provide food in our soil. Isn't that great, eh? Isn't that a great thing? I mean, come on, guys.
Perfect.
That's where we're going. That's where they tell us we're going. This is scientists are studying this. And I mean, I can't retain all the information that I read, but it terrifies me that we're spraying chemicals in our sky, destroying our soil that provides our food. And we're not doing anything about it. People look over their head and they go, hey, look at that line going across the sky. Oh, don't worry about it. They're protecting us from the sun. Go ahead, Jürgen.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have a computer geek who wants to block out the sun. Okay.
That's one thing
we need in Canada. We need less sun in Canada. That's what we need. We have a hard enough time growing anything, so let's have less sun. Thanks a lot, Bill Gates.
Yeah, that's what vitamin we need. D. You don't need vitamin D, man.
No, we don't need that either. We're going to sell it to you in a pill.
We can put it in a pill. You don't have to worry about going outside and getting
it. That's right. Yeah, stay inside. Stay away from that wicked, wicked sun. It's very, very bad for you.
Ultraviolet's going to kill you, man.
And in the meantime, just getting onto something else, because you've been talking about this a lot today, right? Let's talk about Patrice Concoulours. Do you know who she is?
She's one of the
founding members of Black Lives Matter, who just bought a $1.4 million home in L.A., right?
That's it?
A $1.4 million in one of the whitest areas of California. It's just unbelievable. I think in an area that has a black population of 1.6%. It's just, if that's not in your face, I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, she's a Marxist who just bought a $1.4 million house in an upscale liberal white enclave in Los Angeles. Like, you can't make this stuff up. She's one of the leaders of BLM. I mean, hello, is anybody out there listening? Is there anybody paying attention to any of this stuff? You can't make it up.
Oh, some days I wonder, you know, what's wrong with the general population in Canada. But, you know, we've never had a war in our country. We've said this many times. We've been involved in wars. We've gone overseas to fight and defeat the evil Nazis and blah, blah, blah. And we've had our little bits in Vietnam and other places, but we've never had a war in Canada. And Canadians, I don't think, really identify the fact that the enemy's inside the gates right now. A lot of Canadians just refuse to believe that their government would actually work against them, even though there's lots of changes going on in our society. A lot of them are still in the matrix. And boy, I'll tell you, it's like pulling teeth out of a dinosaur to get them out of there. It really is. But I see progress. Like you said earlier, I'm seeing it now in my town. Even a few people now that weren't talking to me on the level of being aware that something's going on here. I'm starting to engage with people that actually are starting to ask questions. So we are seeing progress, but we really need to ramp it up right now, Jürgen, because we're dealing with a police state in Canada right now. The RCMP are full-blown. I have lost all of any respect I ever had for the RCMP. I have now lost just for what they're doing in Alberta right now. They're directly violating Section 176 of the Criminal Code of Canada. This is against the law. They're perpetrating criminal acts right now, and nothing is doing about it. How are you going to arrest the RCMP when they're our police force? Who do we get to arrest those guys? Because they should be arrested right now for what they're doing in Alberta. It's violent. It's a vagrant violation of 176 of our criminal code. I read it extensively yesterday, and this is absolute craziness. And what do we hear from the mainstream media about this, Jürgen? Crickets. Crickets. Go ahead.
And you never will in this country, right? You'll never hear anything from those clowns, that's for sure. I mean, until we take down the media in this country, we're never going to get people to get the truth whatsoever. And that's of course, it's been a sickness we've had forever.
You've got to run for president of the CBC, guys.
I want that job just for a little while. Just for a little while.
6 months.
Yeah. And I promise I won't rent a place in Manhattan.
I don't think I'd want to live in Manhattan. What state now has dropped? There's quite a few of the states that have dropped their mask mandates here in the last week. I think the number is now 16 or 20 states have dropped the mask mandates.
It's awesome.
That needs to go right across the country now, and it needs to come into this country. It absolutely drives me nuts. I see people walking down the street in fresh air wearing a mask. Yesterday, Jürgen, I was at the grocery store, and a man walked out, and he had a 4-year-old girl and maybe a 5-year-old girl, and they had masks on, these two little kids. And Jürgen, I wanted to just run up and say, look, bud, do you really have any idea what you're doing to your child right now? If you look into this, you'll find out. That you could possibly do permanent neurological damage to a child by putting a mask on at this point in their life, by the restriction of oxygen and the actual rebreathing of their own carbon dioxide, the effect it'll have on their body at this stage of their life. It's absolutely a catastrophic effect. And I see people walking around with masks on their children. We know we're in a lot of trouble when people can't take the time to look into what that does to a child. I urge them to do that. That's the only thing I talk when I see somebody I want to engage in. I just ask them to look up hypoxia on the internet and look at the effects of hypoxia on the human body from wearing these masks. None of them stop the virus. We know that. None of these masks on the market can stop this virus. It's 1/16,000th of an inch wide. You can't stop that with a cloth mask. You have to have a full enclosed respiratory system to actually stop this.
What virus?
Killer virus.
What virus?
Yeah.
So, and to go along with that, Fauci just told us they found a variant that evades the test. So he wants you to know that you might be sick with an illness that has no symptoms and can't be verified with a test to confirm you have it, which is why you still need to wear a mask.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, that makes
total
just sense.
Think
to me,
about
man.
It. That makes no sense at all.
This thing's so deadly. We got to get tested to find out we have it. You know, it's that deadly. I mean, I ask people all the time, Jürgen, in town here. I say, how many people you know have been affected by this?
None.
I mean, wait a second. Hold on. Think about that for a minute. Why don't you just think about that for a second? You know that not a single child, except there was one case in Ontario. I think it was a 7-year-old girl that they said died from COVID-19, but we found out she had comorbidity issues that probably caused her death. But in all of Canada, there isn't a child that's died from it. Yet what we're doing to our children in schools is just absolute insanity. Insanity. When I was a kid growing up, recess was so essential when we were in school because you got a break from the learning. So you went outside and you let your energies out, and we were boys and we ran around, chased the girls, and we got into trouble. We were boys. We did everything a boy is supposed to do. And now that's being taken away from our children. People don't understand the effect that's having on the development of a child's social well-being. It's just catastrophic. Suicides are up across the board, man, in children. We know that. It's just absolute total bull, and it's completely unnecessary. Where are the parents, Jürgen?
Yeah, the psychological damage that is being done not only on the children but also on those parents that have concerns about their children but are forced into a system that is mandating them to comply, and a lot of them do it just so, you know, because they're not used to making – yeah, they're not just not used to it, Barry, you know, and I feel for those people because I don't blame them. I really don't. You can't blame them, especially the mothers. But at this point, you know, there are some mothers that need to start standing up. I think for the most part, if the mothers aren't protecting the children, then who the heck's going to protect them, right?
Exactly.
And the fathers as well. I mean, but the fathers, again, I look at the situation in my own family. I look at my two boys, they're gone for 15 days, both at the same time while the girls are at home and they're looking after the kids and they're doing their best to maintain their house at a time when the boys last year lost 50% of their income due to this madness, right? But at the same time, they're looking after their babies at home, they're doing the best they can, and they stand up, they talk to their teachers. I'm very proud of my kids in the sense that they aren't lying down for any of this stuff. So I'm happy with that. But I see a lot of them that are, and that is very, very sad. Like, stand up for your kids, for God's sakes. If you don't, nobody else will, especially now in this madness. You just cannot put this, what we're going through, into the hands of people in the village, because we've seen how many idiots live in the village.
Yeah, they're evil entities from hell. That's what they are, Jürgen. Exactly. They know what they're doing to our children. I have no other way to describe them. They're gonna answer someday for what they're doing. I honestly believe that, and I take a little bit of solace in that thought that one day they're gonna stand in front of a much higher power than me, and they're gonna answer for the damage they're doing to our children because they knowingly are really destroying children right now, and that drives me insane that this is going on yet. You say that you can't blame these people for not getting involved and not stopping this. I say bull. I say as a parent, your responsibility is to, you know, all a parent, Jürgen, any parent that's putting a mask on their child, all they have to do is take 5 minutes, literally, on the internet and Google the negative effects of putting a child, a mask on a child. Go Google search that. Go punch it on YouTube, and you'll come up with five or six videos by world-renowned neurological guys that really know their stuff. And they'll be screaming at the top of their lungs that the worst thing you can do to a child at any development age is to put a mask on them. Because you're
absolutely.
It's the worst thing you can do to a child. And people are walking around. So I say, parents, when you see these kind of changes coming in your society, you can't just go along to get along. It's your responsibility to make sure you're not harming your child. Yet you're you're blindly harming your child by enforcing these mandates on your children. It's time that parents stood up to this. If they stood up to it, it would all go away. It would go away instantly if people would just say, hey, we're not going along with this anymore. Everything you've told us so far is BS. You're continually feeding us BS. You tell us every month that the extension is going to be for another month. We've got to keep these medical emergencies in for another month. Well, if they told the people the truth, Jürgen, that it's never going to go away, you'd see people rise up. But it's never going to go away. You know that. I know that. They're drunk with power. They've got a control mechanism now in place, and it's just ramping up. The Great Reset is coming, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I was saying is that we've got a society that for generations has been plied into becoming milquetoast, right? And so the reason why I say I don't blame them is because they've been molded into what they are. And there's nothing that you and I at this point can say to some of these people, Barry. Like, we're wasting our breath with some of them. You just cannot get past the barrier they've created. They will not. Some of them, I mean, we are witnessing an awakening. And I believe the great majority are going to flip over. And we're going to see a critical mass that flips to the good side at some point very soon, especially with some of the revelations that are going to be coming out, I believe, this month. Some of the revelations that have already come out, this whole thing with the Suez Canal. Talking about the Suez Canal, I just wanted to make a comment to some of your audience. I'm sure you remember the show Dexter. Remember that program, Dexter? Did you ever watch any of that, Barry?
I think I remember watching that show. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, like, but it was 70s, a show. Right? Well, no, that was more in the 2000s. It was about a serial killer who he worked for the police, but he only killed bad people.
Okay.
Right. And the show was about that. But what I'm trying to, the point was, it was a very, very popular program, very popular. It had several seasons. What happened to him in this program is relevant to what we're talking about when you talk about the Suez Canal and the containers, because Dexter became this person because his mother and himself and his sister were at one scene in the last show of the show, right? It showed his history and why he was, because he was in a container with his mother and his sister, and he witnessed his mother getting murdered in that container. And in one of the scenes behind the container that Dexter is in, it shows an evergreen container.
Wow.
They have to tell us everything they're doing.
That's how they get their jollies.
And that's when I look back, when we saw that thing in the Suez Canal and we thought about that, and we thought about Dexter and that scene with the containers, children, we're talking about murder, we're talking about death, and now we find that in the Suez Canal thing, what was it, 1,300 kids are alive and 1,200 and some are dead?
Jürgen, you know what? I'm going to be quite honest with you. I've been following so much other stuff that I have not followed this story to any great lengths at all. Why don't you fill me in a little bit on this, please?
The U.S. Navy and the Russian Navy have both got that ship. They've got it seized. They're checking the containers. I'm not sure of the numbers. It's either 1,200 or 1,300 are alive and the other are dead. People that were trafficked that are found in some of these containers. They found weapons. They found some reports have said there was pieces for a nuke, all kinds of stuff in these containers. But what is happening is the countries are getting together and they've decided now, because of what they found in some of these containers already, which isn't available for the public yet in terms of news, because it's all going to come out in one big thing, I guess. Was I now? There's so much there. So the Russian Navy, along with the Americans, right? are looking after that together. I think it's a joint task force thing to bring down the deep state. And it has led to the creation of new laws that are going to allow them to board these ships in international waters so they can't get away with this crap anymore.
I saw an article on that. I haven't been on top of it as much as I should have, but I didn't know there was that many dead children, quite honestly.
That's one report I heard. I'm trying to get another report on that, but that's one report that I heard. There's a couple of other reports, and like all of that links in with that woman I was talking about earlier, talked about the 16 dumbs in London and how they're connected to Europe, and it's a global organization, and all the children they have found under there so far, and how the people that are responsible for this are all going down. They got the names. They've got the people. It's all going to happen sooner or later. It's going to break sooner or later. We have to believe that, Barry. We have to stay positive, man. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's things that are happening right now that keep me positive. A lot of the times, I've got to be quite honest. It's hard to be positive. Okay, I'm going to try my darndest to stay positive.
Here's the thing: when you think about that huge, huge ship, okay. When you think about ships, the average person thinks, okay, the captain's sitting there and he's got his steering wheel and, oh, gosh, he might have had a drink too many and he just steered this thing over to the side and it plugged up the entire Suez Canal. Well,
right.
It just so happens that these huge things, they all run on computers and all of that, right? So what happened was somebody took control of that ship and took it to the skinniest part of the Suez Canal to make sure they could jam up the whole thing, because the Suez Canal has two parts to it. In the south, it is one lane. In the north, it's two lanes.
Right.
Now, this thing didn't jam up in the north where there's two lanes so ships could still come and go. No, no. It jammed up in the skinniest part of the southern part of it where there's only one lane. Right? So somebody took control of those computers and rammed that thing into the side to make sure that thing could be boarded, investigated, and some of those containers could be found to find what isn't legal cargo.
Hey, Barry.
Yes, sir.
That's why they also drew a giant penis with the route of the ship before it went in.
Wow, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that.
Uh-huh. I didn't see that.
I'll have to show you that. Yeah.
Oh, you'll have to show me that. But wow. So this the ship that actually jammed is where they found these dead bodies, Jürgen?
In the containers. Yeah,
the there's 60,000 on board that ship.
60,000 containers on that ship.
So what are they going through? Are they going through the rest of those containers right now?
Oh, yeah, that's what they're doing now. They've got it in the I think the Red Sea or whatever. There's a sea beside the Suez Canal there or lake. They've got it there, and they're unloading all the containers, checking them all out.
So we potentially haven't heard the end of this yet?
Oh, potentially not. Mm. Yeah. It's
I'll have to get on top of this story because I haven't, like I said, I've got so many other things I'm following right now.
Well, and Barry, that's the thing. We're overloaded, all of us. I mean, you look in one direction, there's one thing, and the other direction, there's something else that just slaps you in the side of the head, and you go, oh, my gosh, what's happening over here? Right? Well, so it's just one after another. We're being bombarded. This is a psychological warfare to the nth degree for all of us.
It is. And, you know, I got 50 people sending me 100 links a day.
Yeah.
Same here. They go, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And they go, well, wait a second. Hold on. You're on my list.
I know.
40 in front of you. And then they get mad because you're not looking at the link you sent them, you know, or they sent you. I am being overloaded. And, but I've come to the conclusion I can only focus on so many things, Jürgen, because if I start trying to focus on all of it, my little brain is just going to overload. It'll blow up, and that'll be the end of my brain. We've got to keep it going for a while yet, because we got a battle in front of us right now that we cannot lose, my friend. We can't lose this battle, Jürgen. We really got to put our foot. I've never felt a more. I'm starting to. Well, I'll say in the last little while here, really starting to feel like I got to push this as hard as I've ever pushed anything in my life. Because what I see coming for our world, buddy, it terrifies me. And I got children and grandchildren. You do. And, you know, you want them to have the same thing that we grew up with. And if we don't stop this, it's going to be hell on earth. And I know that and you know that. So I praise what you guys. You really have a good voice and you're a smart man, Jürgen, and you really resonate with people. So it's always good having you back on my show today. And I love talking with you because you're a smart guy. When I got smart guys on. when I get smart guys on, it makes me look smart.
Well, thanks so much for that. You're so kind with your words, my friend. It's really nice. You know, what I do a lot is I sing a lot. Eh? I sing around the house, but I got to tell you something.
Oh, we're going to have to sing then, Jürgen.
My wife asked me to stop singing I'm a Believer by the Monkees because she found it very annoying. At first, I thought she was kidding, but then I saw her face.
Okay, don't give up your day job.
Okay, ask me real quick why I quit my job as a comedian.
Why did you quit your job?
Timing.
Timing. Okay. How many years did you work for the Human Rights Commission, Jürgen?
I was with Dr. Ritchie probably for 10 or 12 years, I guess, on the board of directors there. We found a lot of information. We spoke to, I don't know, a couple hundred whistleblowers from the federal government. Yeah, I got a lot of information from her. When I first met her, it was she saw me do a speech at the Ottawa Citizen when I was spokesperson for Canadians for Language Fairness, of which I'm still on the board of directors, sort of director at large now that I live out west. She was an inspiration, and all of her stuff is in the archives of the University of Alberta. I wish people would go and look at that information. It gives you a lot of historical context. With the work that she did, I'll tell you, Barry, was just so inspirational to me. And when I first met her, when I gave that speech about my wife having contacted tainted blood through the tainted blood scandal back in the day, I had the audience in tears, and that's when Dr. Ritchie asked me to be on her board, and she really loved my speech, and she didn't understand. She didn't know what had happened with that tainted blood scandal either. And you know, when I think of that now, in terms of what they did to my wife and those tens of thousands of people they poisoned with the tainted blood, I look at this government now, and people are still trusting this government. I mean, they tried to kill my wife. Hello? You know, I just don't understand how some people can be so blind. And even in the amount of years that I've talked about what they did to my wife, people still just, they just seem to shrug it off as if it was no big deal. But here was a concerted effort by not only, the people who sold the blood and distributed the blood, the Red Cross and all these people involved, in poisoning people, poisoning your own people. How does that happen? Nobody went to jail. Nobody went to jail in this country. Nobody. Yeah. Some went to jail in France, but nobody here, right? And now this government is telling us to wear a mask, wear two masks, wear it while you're driving your car, put it on your kid, kill yourself. Here, go kill yourself. While they're passing more and more euthanasia laws, kill yourself at the front end of life right up to 9 months old and kill yourself at the back end of life. You now got some clown in the state saying everybody should off themselves at 75 because you're pretty much useless after that.
Yeah, that's it. Your life's up. You don't get to live any longer, guys. That's it. Come on in. We'll give you a little shot and you'll just drift into eternity. I can't believe that. How far our society has gone. But then we're a society now that allows abortion at term. Can you imagine that? Can you visualize killing a baby the day before it's going to come out of a mother's baby, out of a mother's body? I can't even begin to fathom that. It strikes me right at the very bottom of my soul that there's people that are actually, that these people walk this planet. But then we know we have very, very evil people, unfortunately, running a good part of our world right now. And we really got to put them in their place, buddy.
Watch your time, Barry.
Their day's coming, buddy. Yeah, I know. I see it. We got 6 minutes left here, or 5 minutes left. So time always goes quick when I get you guys on. The same thing with the last hour. Ron was doing it. The time's up, and same thing with Roger. So I guess maybe I should get – no, I can't. Steve won't give me 7 hours. But anyways,
that's a tough show to do for 7 hours, that's for sure.
I don't think my voice would last 7 hours. But anyways, go ahead. I'm going to give you a few more minutes here to talk, and then we'll have to shut the show up for the week.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll leave your.
But we got lots of minutes. We got 5 or 6 minutes. Yes, take your time.
We got to stay strong together and resist the fear porn and all the ensuing anxiety that goes with it. We must, all of us, take the lead. As I think all of us have been selected to be the protectors of our freedoms, as those we rely on continue to deceive and demand more control over our lives. So we must no longer cower to the demands of those who solely demand obedience, as we are the overlords. We have to recognize that we are the elite. They are not. They're the predatory class that are sucking off of us. And they're hell-bent on destruction, changing everything through their transgender agenda, their alphabet nonsense. They use their lies and manipulation to create fear and doubt as they censor the truth. So humanity must begin to realize that the power lies within all of us. We must shift the paradigm of fear onto them, for it is we who have the power to control our destinies. We have the numbers, and the numbers are growing. So with that, we can take back our freedoms through resistance to unjust, immoral, and illegal mandates that basically destroy any person's right to live his or her life in peace, love, and in harmony with friends and neighbors. And we must refuse to help them by enforcing their illegal and unjust mandates, right? We are now the counterculture. We are the fighters for freedom. Make no mistake, for we, the people that are fighting this, we see the abuse of power. We can feel the effects of abuse of power every day, as all of these livelihoods have been torn from decent people deemed unessential. It's absolutely beyond the pale. We'll never trust the village with our children, for we have seen the idiots that dwell within. That's one of my favorite phrases I've come up with.
Great. Very suiting.
You know, enough is enough. The collective of freedom fighters is the collective that they fear. They push this other collective of nonsense and kumbaya, and everybody's the same. But it's the collective of freedom fighters that they really fear. And all of us, we are the ones that question the unified chorus of this media spin and propaganda that fills the airways every single day. And you and I and people like us, we will never succumb to their lies, their obstruction and omission of facts. And we think for ourselves. And that's what they don't like. They don't like the critical thinkers. They only like people who think that they know what they're thinking. As long as they're thinking what they're being told, then that's it. Right?
So very true.
We resist the science that denies biological truths and geological realities. We resist that nonsense, right? We resist Fabian eugenicists and their pledge to limit the global population to 500 million people, as they see that this transgender and this melding of humanity with artificial intelligence is the answer, because they don't care about small business anymore. They've got their robotics now. Who needs humanity? They can bring it down to 500 billion now. Right? Look at all the people that still go to the darn self-serves at these Walmarts and these stores. Whenever I see somebody there, I get so mad. I said, why are you denying somebody a job? Why are you happy to do that? You're an idiot.
Barry.
Stop it.
Yes, Steve.
Time's up.
Okay, hey, Jurgen, that's the end of the show. I guess Steve's going to click the button here in a minute or two, so... got to thank you for coming in, Bud. And I know you could go for another hour. We'll definitely do this again in the near future, I hope. Yes, thanks again for coming in, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Barry. All the best, you and Steve and everybody there. Annie, too. See you later, guys.
Okay, well, thanks again to Jurgen, and thanks again to people for listening in today. I've enjoyed the conversations, and I think everybody probably picked up something today from our conversation. I hope you did. And I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I've got that homeopath doctor is coming next week to talk about these nanotubes a little bit more and some of the research she's found out. Got a couple of good guests lined up for next week. I'll be back same time, same place. Hope to see you guys then. God bless you. Have a great week, and bye for now.